much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Perhaps we could skip ahead and just hit the highlights?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
What do you want?
Tangerine Fanta, please.
Tangerine Fanta, please.
We do not have that.
They do not have that.
Tab, it's fine.
Just a tab, then?
No.
Nope.
Pepsi Lime?
Pepsi Lime?
We have Coke.
They have Coke?
Newer Classic.
Is it Newer Classic?
Just regular Coke.
Okay, Schweppes, then, Schweppes.
Okay, just a Schweppes, then.
Did you say Schweppes?
Schweppes?
Schweppes.
Yeah, Schweppes.
You're breaking up. Say it one more time.
Schweppes.
I'm sorry, I heard two people.
Okay, Schweppes.
Say it again.
Schweppes! It's a Schweppes!
And now.
You have any milk water, like a Yoo-Hoo?
We don't have that.
Anything from the Slice family?
Don't have it.
Anything from the Welch's family?
No.
Do you have anything that has any kind of Baja Blast in it, whether it be Mountain Dew, Pepsi, anything?
I guess not, sir.
Let's take a water then.
Please pull forward to the next window.
Our feature presentation.
That is so sweet. Well, you always get effed at the drive-thru, right? We've all learned that.
My favorite part of that is, A, that he's able to come up with so many things they don't have anymore. But mm-hmm. B, she's sitting in the driver's seat and she's telling him what the speaker is saying. Mm-hmm. And he can hear every word. I love that so much.
That is from the new Zach Galifianakis show, by the way, which we told you about last week when we had Zach on. And you should definitely check out. And it's called Baskets. And it's on FX. And it's Thursday nights. And it's unlike anything else on TV. It's very, very funny. You should definitely watch it.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It's Monday, the 25th of January.
So, how are y'all?
Excellent.
Great.
You? I'm fine.
All right.
Good to be back in America. I felt a lot better about my Seahawks watching your Cardinals yesterday, Kevin. I will tell you that.
Well, yeah, my Cardinals did make every team in the NFL, including the Dolphins, look like they're fantastic.
Oh, no, the Dolphins would have lost 100 to nothing if they had been playing.
No, I don't think so. Come on. I'm not positive it was possible to do more wrong.
At least the Cardinals scored a couple of times.
Yeah, but it was really sort of a pity score. The Panthers just went, look, have one.
Well, no, they were just so tired. They were just so tired from all the touchdown celebrating.
Dancing.
They barely had any time left. And giving a football to every kid in the state of North Carolina.
That was great.
Well, I know we're going to be talking about football later. We have our friend Matt Money-Smith on next hour, and we'll do Andrew Siciliano's weekly visit, too. But I thought maybe this would be fun for everybody, football fans or no. A couple of songs for you today, including one we didn't get to at the end of last week. You guys saw the Panthers fan who did his own song.
I did not.
I think this is going to be their Super Bowl anthem now that they've won again and they're heading to Super Bowl 50. But this guy, he's a fan. His name is Ked Woodley is his name. And he's just standing in his front yard in his Panthers jersey. And this is the song he came up with. I think, Kevin, you in particular, this could be your new ringtone now.
Carolina Panthers with sharp teeth and claws. We growl to win this game. We call pro football.
That's my favorite part. Is when he growls like a panther.
Yeah. Did you watch that game yesterday, Bean?
Of course I did.
That panther growl?
Yeah.
Between that and the Broncos. F you so hard.
Yeah, it was a pretty horsey day watching the Denver game,
pretty
too.
Pretty annoying.
Our offense and defense, so intense. Your team will be the losers if you got a lick of sense. You dig the NFL, my lyrics and my rhymes. You eat up what I'm saying, spitting fly hip-hop lines.
He's sure spitting fly hip-hop lines.
I do love him.
Isn't he the best?
Yeah, he is the
Lightning
best.
Lightning fast, big black cats, Panthers kicking ass. Yo, with a TD or a field goal, gonna get that W, dominate the foe.
By the way, the song is called Dominate the Foe, in case you're wondering, which maybe isn't the best title for
That's
it.
So catchy.
Dominate the Foe.
Carolina Panthers with sharp teeth and claws. We growl to win this game. We call pro football.
Is that guy playing Coachella by any chance?
I hope so.
When running, passing, old pitching the ball, we got blazing, mesmerizing plays, y'all. Wanna holler at your top cats who cheer and turn us on. foe. We Panthers keep pounding.
He's giving up by now.
He's not, man. He's just tired.
He's bringing it home for the Super Bowl.
Okay. All right. I don't get the – I got to go back, but I don't get the line about the top cats that cheer. I don't know what that – I mean, it seems like maybe a rewrite there, but
– paid lots of dough. Soon to be our victory at the Super Bowl. Let's go. Let's go.
All right, there you go. There's Panthers fan Ked Woodley.
I love that you have notes for him, though. That's yeah. good.
Well, he has a line he'd like you to rewrite.
I feel like maybe that was a first draft.
Sure.
Is all.
Okay.
But it is, I mean, it's the furthest thing. Maybe this is why it's so charming. It's the furthest thing from professional. You know, mm-hmm. it's just a middle-aged guy standing in his yard with yeah. just a phone in the grass pointed up at him. You know what I mean? All right, so here's, I think, equally exciting, and I'm sorry I didn't catch his name. This is I guess it's a Broncos fan who does an internet post-game recap show.
Okay.
And he has a song also that I think maybe, Ali, this one's for you.
You, Tom Brady. You, Tom Brady. You, Tom Brady. You, Tom Brady. You, Tom Brady, I'm sorry, but that's your f***ing name.
So there you go. There's a little something for everybody today.
That guy did not hold up.
No, I don't, well, I don't think that
was... That guy was weak.
Yeah. He's no Ked Woodley. I mean,
he was no Ked.
I feel like you should have led with that one, because anything after Ked was going to be a letdown.
Right, right. But I mean... We all are on board with and appreciate the sentiment of the second contestant. It just artistically wasn't just, quite as satisfying.
It was poorly executed?
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah. All right. Good times. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
You, Tom Brady.
that's going to be played a lot. Yeah.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that. We should play that a lot, Bean.
Yeah.
Great idea, you guys.
Matt Money Smith will be on the program today talking about the fantastic weekend of football. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com will be on the show. We have Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network as well. The recap of this weekend. We have Linda Pauly sent us a Donald Trump song. How exciting is that?
Excellent.
I'm a little bit, I mean, she's our diehard Republican friend who lives in Maine, but I'm a little bit surprised that she's in to Donald Trump as much as she is. Or maybe it's not her. Maybe she's just channeling from beyond.
She's channeling, somebody that's already in heaven being. You know how it works.
All right.
Plus, the X-Files came back last night. Not soon enough. Could have come back like 2 hours earlier during the Arizona game. And we have Dave Duchovny on the program today.
Great.
Very excited about that. And Bean, when did you tell us about Canhead?
Well, we found out about him Friday morning.
Friday morning.
About this time, we had Canhead on, the man who had the weird suction ability on his skin to put things on his face and all over his body, really, and have them stick. And we asked producer Dave if he could find Canhead for us. And he did. And we're going to talk to him in like 20 minutes. The actual Canhead.
Does it make me lame that that's my most excited part of the show today?
Not
all weekend. You're thinking about it. I know you can.
Canhead. Oh, yeah, sure. Arizona's getting killed, but Canhead. That's what I was thinking. All right. We will take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat deck. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5 minutes till six.
Our friend Ralph Garman is hobnobbing with his movie star friends in Sundance, Park City, Utah, right now. He'll be back on Wednesday. In the meantime, filling in with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. Here's Adam McKay.
Where do you think he's staying, you guys?
I was so stunned that you didn't figure out a way to put a tracker on him when he left here on Friday. With all the questions that you had, I felt like that would be your whole weekend, is just sitting at home monitoring him online.
You assume she didn't?
Oh, that's true. Maybe she's just pretending when she asks questions like that. She knows.
I thought this weekend I should tweet him at least 5-6 times a day, like, hey, where are you eating? What's going on? What route did you take?
I like it.
To see how quick he'd block me.
Uh-huh.
But then I thought, well, that's no fun. Like, one tweet, he'd be like,
yeah, that's true. That's true.
A lot of snow.
It would have been
weekend.
Fun, though. Sorry.
It would have been fun.
A lot of snow, yes. A
lot of snow. And apparently it affected the box office.
Oh, how could it not?
I know.
You couldn't leave your house.
No. Over 300 theaters closed on Friday and even more on Saturday. So people were not going out to see the movies. The Revenant brought in $16 million. These are the top 10, by the way. Star Wars The Force Awakens, $14.3 million. Ride Along 2, $12.9 million. Dirty Grandpa, with its debut, bringing in $11.5 million. The Boy, debuting with $11.3 million. Number six, The Fifth Wave, 7-13 hours. Daddy's Home, Norm of the North, and The Big Short, rounding out the top 10. I watched The Big Short this weekend.
Yes. Right?
So good.
It's so good, and it's so hard to imagine how much bad was done during that whole housing crash.
God. Yeah. It's unbelievable. And it's amazing how well they tell the story for, let's be honest, dumb people Dummies. Like us that don't quite understand the market and that type of thing. To be able to follow along and, wow, it's good. Bean, have you seen it yet?
I have, and I liked it very much as well.
Excellent. All right. Well, a lot of people staying in, like we said, because of the snow, and that helped out Saturday Night Live. Did you guys see it with Ronda Rousey, Selena Gomez?
I taped it, and I didn't have time on Sunday.
Well, the second best ratings of the season, behind, of course, the show, which had Donald Trump. helped out not only by the snow, but a lot of people saw that Tina Fey was on. That caused a lot of people on the West Coast to then tune in as well. Of course, Tina Fey coming back on to do her Sarah Palin impersonation, which... it's so great. But then watching it, I thought, this is basically what Sarah Palin said her speech.
Very little different.
Oh, which is terrifying.
Kevin, I'm going to advise you to not watch SNL.
Oh, okay.
Even though you love Ronda.
I take it. I love Ronda Rousey.
Well, because you hate Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And everything you hate about Saturday Night Live is on this episode.
Oh, no.
It's that. But there are two or three things that are worth seeing, and I can send you the links and just watch the sketches, and you'll be happy, and you'll have saved a bunch of time.
Good enough.
The Oscar So White sketch.
Was great.
Yes.
Was great, yeah.
That is it.
Okay.
Yeah. You're not going to want to watch it.
All right. And let me just say this, and no disrespect to Ronda, because A, I love her, and B, I don't want her to hit me in the face.
Sure.
Is this unfair, Allie? I was expecting her to be a little better than she was. I didn't hold her to the same standard I would have other professional athletes who have hosted that show, and there have been a lot of them. She wants to be an actress.
Right.
She is an actress.
Right.
I expected her to be better at it than she was. Huh. I did not think she was very good.
Well, I don't know that that's real acting, those sketches, are they? I mean, I know there's acting involved, but... It's also, there's the audience, and it's the timing, and it's the live sketch.
I understand. It may be tougher than being a film, being a movie or something like that. But I just expected her to be more natural than she was. She looked out of place and awkward.
Well, I thought she was great in everything she did.
Kevin, you didn't see it.
I know, but I don't want to get hit.
Oh, so, got it.
Bean's fine with it.
So. Yeah. Bean has a death wish.
Well, I was really speaking more for Beer Mug than I was for me.
Yeah. Sure.
All right, you guys, everybody get out to the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning, 11:30 a.m. in front of the Fox Theater. That's at 6508 Hollywood Boulevard to see David Duchovny getting his star. Yep. He will be joined by creator, director, executive producer Chris Carter and comedian Gary Shandling.
Oh, they were such good friends.
I love that so much.
Remember, he used to be a regular on the old Larry Sanders Show, and they were hilarious together.
I just love that. He's the one that's going to be out there
that
with
is
them.
Be
that's
cool.
Just
I do too.
Good
that's
times.
Fantastic. I love Dave. I'm so happy for him.
Well, we get to talk to him at 9 a.m.
Yes, we do.
So we'll ask him what he's going to wear, you know, stuff like that.
Maybe not ask him that.
Okay. Not come up.
Maybe not.
Probably good. Mm-hmm. All of these stars born today on January the 25th. Singer Alicia Keys is 35 and actor Michael Trevino is 31.
That's it?
That's it.
Okay. I know who one of those is.
Look up the other.
Oh, he's formerly Tyler from Vampire Diaries. Come on, Bean.
Bean doesn't watch them.
Yeah.
Yay! I know. Yay, Michael, for being born. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KRQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:06.
You know, some things you just shouldn't say out loud just because they shouldn't be released into the world.
Right.
Like
they're toxic. They're toxic.
But they need to be. Some things need to be said, Bean.
Yeah, but no.
Because we have to learn from our lives and our previous mistakes.
Well, I don't think you're learning is what I'm saying. Hey, 1 hour from right now, we're going to do the grand prize drawing for the K-Rock World Tour 2016 Destination Number 1. We are sending you, a Kevin and Bean listener, to Tokyo, Japan. Have we already revealed Destination Number 2, by the way? Is this top secret, or do we wait and do this next hour?
Well, Chip has a thumbs up.
I feel like it's way past time to ask that question.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to
do
get
it.
So we do the grand prize drawing for Destination 1. That's Japan. And then all this week, keep listening for your chance to see The Weezer in Amsterdam. How's that for a 1-2 punch?
Much weed.
All right, we've been very excited about this all weekend long. Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, I brought you some tape about a remarkable man who lives in the Chicago area named Jamie Keaton. He's Canhead. I gave you guys the opportunity to guess why he could possibly be named Canhead, and there's no way any of you thought of or would have thought of what's going on with Jamie, which is that he can take cans or really almost anything and just stick it on his body, and it just stays there like he's Velcro. It's a skin condition, or it has something to do with the temperature of his skin or something, but he's been doing it for years and years and years and has turned it into a way to make a living. Here's a little bit of the tape from the CNN report that we played for you on Friday.
He has now parlayed this very unusual ability into a bit of worldwide fame. Just last week in China, he set a record for being the greatest can head of all time, and he will soon be in the Guinness Book of World Records. He and his suction cup head have met the famous, and suddenly the money is rolling in.
Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest can head of all time. And the only one in America that we are aware of, Mr. Jamie Keaton joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Jamie, how are you, sir?
We're good. How are you guys?
Very good. Please tell me about that competition in China. Were there other can heads?
Of a competition.
What's that?
No, I'm the only one.
You're the only one.
Much of a correct.
Now, Jamie, the piece that we saw from CNN, and I know you've been interviewed by multiple outlets over the years, said that there are only known to be three people in the world with your condition. Is that still accurate? There's you, and then there's two guys in India, right?
There's three.
Three.
There's two in India and one in South America.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. And have you been to a bunch of doctors where they've tried to figure out what makes you so sticky?
I've been to about three, but a lot of them want to do, I wouldn't say experiments, but they want to cut me, and I was like, nah, that's all right.
Hey, I saw the X-Files last night, man. You do not want them cutting you. All right,
nope,
Bean's used the word. Bean used a word, and I just want to clarify here. He used the word sticky. Now, your skin's not sticky, is it?
It's more suction-y. What happens is that my skin pores suck in the oxygen. And because of that, generates body heat. So my body temperature stays around 100 degrees.
Okay.
So it just makes things stick to me, suck to me.
And what kinds of things, for folks who maybe weren't with us on Friday, we talked about some of them, but expand the list of things that you can stick to your body, and if there's anything that won't stick to you, Jamie.
Anything that's porous, our clothing and stuff like that, will not stick to me.
Okay. Oh, thank God, right? Because you'd never be able to get undressed.
Correct.
You'd have like 34 years of clothes on.
But,
All right. So anything that's porous doesn't stick to you. So you could almost take anything out of your refrigerator, for instance, all of those items. If it's a gallon of milk or a stick of butter or a soft drink or anything like that, all that stuff would stick.
Well, I've stuck a gallon of water to my stomach or to my back. But most of the time I have women coming up and how to do that, and then they'll start pouring out the purses, just sticking stuff to me, and I'm like, "Lucoin."
Right. Wow. And have you been able to cash in?
Oh yeah, I get so much money. It depends on if I'm advertising or if I'm just going somewhere. Because advertisement, like at NASCAR events, I get anywhere from $1,000 a day to almost $8,000 a weekend or more.
Wow. And what do they have you do? Like, do you walk up and down the stands with products on your head?
That's all I got to do is walk around. And what it is that I put their name of their company on my cans and on the shirts.
Uh-huh.
So every picture taken has their product in it. So, like at NASCAR events, on Sunday alone, I average 80,000 pictures a day.
Oh, my
wow.
God.
So people see you and they go, what the hell? I want a selfie. And then that's how you advertise.
That's your advertising, yeah. And then all those people who get a picture with Canhead put it up on social media, and whatever product you're wearing that day gets all those views. That's brilliant.
All right, Jamie, I have a personal question for you.
Oh, God.
When you're getting together with, say, another person, is that a problem?
Yes, I can get stuck.
Is that true?
Really?
I can get stuck. Yeah,
Tell me all about it.
Multiple times.
You could get stuck.
I actually got a shirt that says my lawyer made me put the warning label on it, and it says, warning, may cause multiple orgasms due to my suction problem.
Oh, my God. Wow. I got that same shirt.
What? So
you bought one. You're one of the ones that bought my shirt.
Yep. Let's keep it above the waist for now.
Oh, okay.
But so kissing, for instance, there's a suction problem with kissing sometimes even?
Yeah, I actually have to lick my wet my lips before I kiss somebody because I can actually get stuck.
How about that? Allie, is that a turn on or a deal breaker for you when you're talking to Jamie?
Well, I would think it would affect me more because trying to get the suction off, like that kind of thing, that would hurt my lips.
All right, how hard is it to separate things from your skin?
He has to like twist it and pull it off.
Not always. I mean, as long as it gets, like if I'm sweating, it'll close my pores.
Well, I don't want that. If like I'm making out with you and you have to sweat in order for me to be released.
No.
Release me, Jamie.
I lick my lips before I kiss somebody because then it keeps it moist, or I'll put like chapstick on.
I see.
Okay.
Do you give them a warning up front? I know you said you had the t-shirt thing, but I mean, do you literally have to tell them this is a thing, and then they laugh at you because, what's that?
If it gets to that point, yes.
Wow. I mean, I think that would be the right thing to do. We're talking to Jamie Keaton, by the way. He is Canhead. You can follow him on Twitter at Canhead69. His website is Can. That's a perfectly reasonable Twitter handle. I don't know what you're laughing about. His website is canheadstuff.com. Jamie, are you glad that you have this ability? I mean, is it fun for you? Do you enjoy it? I guess it's the type of thing that you don't have to do if you don't feel like it, but is it a lot of fun for you to be Canhead?
Oh, it is. It's a lot of fun. But when I was younger, it wasn't. I was more nervous that people would think I was a freak. So until I got older, now it's enjoyable. I'll go to bars with my friends, and I'm like the ultimate wingman because women surround me and people buy me drinks, and I really don't drink that much, so I give them all to my friends.
Sure.
Plus, you never have to be at a table because you could just stick your drinks to your head.
Friends could stick their drinks there. You could be like a drink holder. You've got it made.
Well, most of the time, I actually put full bottles of like alcohol, like Absolut on the back of my head and pour shots off the back of my head.
Oh, that's
I want to hang out with you so much, Jamie.
We got to hire him for the next singles party.
Yes.
I
want
to see you. That's what we got to do. Let's hire Jamie to come out for the next singles party.
I like it. He'll come. He said he would go.
Fun.
He said he would go.
All right. Canhead, last question for me, and this is, again, a follow-up to the CNN piece we saw, is were you just joking, or do you put the cell phone on your cheek and that's your hands-free driving when you want to talk on the phone when you're behind the wheel?
Actually, I'm doing it right now.
Really? The phone is stuck to your face right now as you're talking to Kevin and Bean?
Yes, I am.
You're the greatest American that has ever lived.
USA!
Dump Trump Canhead 2016. That's
agreed.
What I say.
Love it.
All right, Jamie, you're a great American, and we're serious about a party. If we get one going this year, we're definitely going to get in touch and see what your schedule is. But it's really been fun to talk to you. Thanks so much for coming on today, okay?
I'm actually supposed to be coming out to L.A. soon, and
I'll
give you guys bring ahead the time.
Please let us know when you're coming. Hey, by the way, one last question. Can people throw stuff at you and it sticks?
No, it doesn't work
Velcro,
like that.
Man.
I don't know. I'm just saying. I got a
dartboard, Kevin.
I'm just saying. I got a beer in my hand, and he walks by. I'm just going to toss it at his head. Would it stick? Shut up, Pete. I'm not asking you. I'm asking Canhead, the greatest American that ever lived.
Oh, thank you.
Would it stick or no?
A lot of times, yes.
Yeah!
Oh, I don't want to get anywhere near Kevin.
Okay. USA!
All right, Jamie. Great stuff. Right. We'll talk again soon, sir. Thanks for coming on.
All right, thank you.
You're a great American.
Okay,
bye now.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you later. Have a good day. Not hanging up on him. He's my hero.
Our friend Matt Money Smith from the Petrus Money Radio Show is going to explain to Allie and Kevin what went so horribly wrong for their respective football teams yesterday. That is coming up. But first, Monday morning means our friend Harvey Levin in the newsroom at TMZ.com. Hey, Harvey. How was your weekend, sir?
It was good, guys. How about you?
Doing great. Great to have you on. I was excited to see a news story about Kate Del Castillo on. I've been really interested in her. But for folks who maybe don't recognize the name of this popular Mexican actress, tell us who she is, Harvey.
Well, she is the actress that got El Chapo's attention. And she is the one who, along with Sean Penn, did the interview with El Chapo. She has a story to tell, I'm telling you.
Why is that? You think there's a lot more that we don't know about that story?
Yes.
Yeah. I do, too. And now El Chapo didn't have any idea who Sean Penn was, right? Like, Kate was his – that was his girl.
You're right.
Right, okay.
You're right. So, anyway, more on that later. We're going to – I don't want to talk about that right now, but I will – for a reason. But I will tell you this.
Are you afraid of El Chapo? Is that what's happening here?
No.
Is he already out?
We're working on something.
Oh, okay. All right.
But she has been in hiding since this interview, and she is afraid. She's afraid for her life. She's being investigated now in Mexico for money laundering, but she is fearful. It's interesting because Saturday night she not only went out, but she went to a party place. She went along with Jillian Barbary, one of her good friends. And you all know Jillian.
Sure, yeah.
Jillian's great. And so they went to El Coyote in Los Angeles. And, you know, it's a Mexican restaurant, but have you guys been?
Yes.
Yeah.
Only a million and a half times. I love that place.
I call it the mothership.
Yeah, it's the best.
Yes.
Everybody in L.A. knows El Coyote. You know, it's not just a place you go for Mexican food. It's a place you go and party eating Mexican food.
Right.
And, you know, it's interesting because they weren't like, you know, stuck in a corner in the restaurant. This was really kind of a coming out for her. But she remains very fearful
now,
and
let me just
has a lot of issues.
Let me just ask you a question about the fearful. Government? El Chapo's gang? Like, is she afraid of everything?
All of the above.
Wow.
All of the above. But she's, you know, look, the Mexican government, for some reason, has really set its sights on her. And part of it may be that she embarrassed them because, you know, when they're the ones that let him escape, they're the ones that can't find him.
Yeah.
She finds him. She facilitates this. Makes them look bad. And, you know, she's afraid.
The Mexican government just needs to understand they're not hot. I mean, honestly, it makes a difference.
Great point.
She's a huge star in Mexico, right? She's in that that soap opera, right?
Yeah.
Telenovela, right?
Telenovela.
Yeah. And is she becoming is she a little bit of a folk hero back there now? I mean, is it because I know how that works sometimes where they end up writing those songs about kind of these counterculture people that kind of are pricks in the side of the government down there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, it's a huge story down there. And I don't think, the impact of it is fully developed yet because I think a lot depends on what the Mexican government ends up doing with her. But she's really, really popular. Realize, though, that this was not just a, you know, social meeting. I mean, she clearly had some plan when she went to meet with him.
Yeah.
As did Sean Penn.
Right, exactly. All right, Harvey Levin on the line from TMZ.com. How was the snowstorm for your guys on the East Coast? At one point, I heard that New York City got 26 inches of snow in one day, Harvey. What was that like for your people?
Crazy. I mean, it's crazy. Did not get a lot of video this weekend.
Yeah.
Did not get a lot of video. The fun thing was Mark Ruffalo. This is a great story. So Mark Ruffalo is out in the snowstorm, I think, for right in the middle of it, and loses his wallet and cell phone. And these little girls come along, and they look down in the snow, and they see the wallet and cell phone half buried. Pick it up, but the driver's license isn't helpful to them. They have no idea who Mark Ruffalo is, and they don't know how to get in touch from the driver's license, and the cell phone is locked. So they're trying to figure out what to do, and all of a sudden a text message comes in with a phone number. So they call the number, and it ends up the publicist for Mark Ruffalo calls them and says, "You guys got the phone and the wallet?" And they said, "Yeah." Mark Ruffalo shows up at their door, takes pictures with them, gives them $100, says he's going to give them autographed pictures of the Hulk, and spends like a half hour with him.
Oh, that's
pretty cool.
That's a cool story, but I feel awkward about him trying to explain who the Hulk is to them.
Right. Well, here's my question too, Harvey. Remember back, it was a couple years ago, I think 2014, Mark Ruffalo left his wallet or his phone, I'm not sure which one, in a cab in Chicago, and the guy found it and wound up tweeting him and got it back to him. Do we need to talk about Mark Ruffalo's problems? Like, he needs a fanny pack. What's
First
happening?
First of all, I think my memory is going.
Uh-huh.
So the fact that you can remember that from 2014.
Right.
I remember it because the guy tweeted him and it was this big thing like, oh my God, you just tweet Mark Ruffalo that you have his wallet. And Mark Ruffalo was like, oh man, let me get that from you. I don't know
I ate breakfast a half hour ago and don't fully remember what I ate.
All right.
So the fact that you can remember that is amazing.
I'm just focusing on the Hulk having a fanny pack.
I think
that was a great idea. Well, I'm just glad he didn't take these young girls to see him in Spotlight. I mean, I'm glad that's not where this ended up.
Oh, wow.
What is his current movie that he's got in theaters right now.
You're a terrible human being.
All sorts of TMZ on your TV.
You ruin all the fun.
Can I steal that for the show? Of course you can. TMZ airs all throughout the day on Fox, the original show. And, of course, the great TMZ Live is at 4 p.m. TMZ Sports airs Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. And the new South of Wilshire shows airing Monday through Friday on KCOP, KCOP Channel 13 at 5:30. It's a lot of fun. It's a game show from TMZ, unlike anything you've ever seen before. Harvey, great to have you on. Have a fantastic week. We'll do it again next time.
You too, guys.
Dave Duchovny gets his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning. I bet he's really looking forward to that. That's probably the best part of his whole day. But he also has to talk to Kevin Bean. That'll be happening just after 9 o'clock. But first,
Carolina Panthers, the sharp teeth and claws. We growl to win this game. We call pro football.
Indeed. Matt Money Scraff from the Petros and Money Radio Show at AM 570 joins us on K-Rock. Matt, please tell me you've had Panther fan Ked Woodley on your show to talk about his song.
No, we have not. We just regularly repeat the mantra, Carolina, come on and raise up, over and over and over again.
Yeah. How are you, man? How are your conference championships games? You have fun? You enjoy them?
Well, the first one, certainly. You know, the first one was pretty great, seeing Tom Brady getting the crap kicked out of him. That was kind of fun. And seeing Peyton Manning look like an old man trying to run away from a pass run.
By the way, are they so young and fast?
I know he's 39.
He's the Mr. Burns of football. He is. I know he's 39, which in the real world, you're peak. You're fine at 39. There's nothing wrong with being 39. In that context, though, didn't he just look like the oldest animal in the world getting taken down by gazelles?
Well, it's, you know, we were watching it as a family, actually. For whatever reason, my oldest daughter, I took her to a Bronco game. So she's a huge Bronco fan when I called one of the games. And my middle daughter loves Tom Brady.
Well, so she's the one you need to focus on. She sounds like
she's the one who gets to go to college.
Yes.
She gets
it. I figured that would be the point in the conversation where I chimed in. So they're going at each other. And my middle one says, Dad, how old is Peyton Manning? I said, 39. She said, that's younger than you. Why does he look so old? And I said, because he's been getting the crap kicked out of him for 20 years. That's why he looks so old.
He didn't have to do much yesterday, right? He's just got a defense that's just that good.
Yeah, I mean, he did throw two pretty great. The first touchdown pass was pretty great. And he did, but you know, the thing about Peyton Manning is everyone is focused on, oh, he's got no arm strength left. That's fine, and they're right. His arm strength is certainly considerably less than it was. But the big thing, and you talk to any scouts or coaches that they want from a quarterback, is accuracy. Just put the ball, I don't care how long it takes it to get there, how it gets there, just put it where it needs to be. And, man, his passes just, they are not on spot anymore. Like, that. He used to be the guy that freaking placed that ball exactly, I mean, precisely where it needed to be. And that's just not the case anymore. And that's kind of weird to see that's sort of something that has come with 20 years of playing in the league in advanced age.
And by the way, he's not shy at all about throwing a tantrum after every single play. If his receiver stutter steps, it isn't where he's supposed to be at the right time or something like that. I mean, you can read the FUs coming out of his mouth. He is furious out there, isn't he? He's mad at everybody.
Yeah, bad guy. I mean, that's just that's the best way to put it. It's like, come on, man. You can't be throwing ducks and missing Manny Sanders wide open in the end zone and Caldwell wide open in the end zone. Mm-hmm. And when Demaryius Thomas dropped the ball that's quacking like a duck.
Right,
but you know, it's wobbling when it hits his hands. You can't throw that tantrum.
In his defense, though, what did it take for him to get the ball there, catch it? I mean, really,
no,
he's 39.
Right.
He can barely throw the ball anymore. If it's in the area, catch the ball.
Give Grandpa some help.
Right.
Yeah, if it hits you in the hand, you should be able to catch
it. If it's within 20 yards of you, you get it.
When you get off the record with them, they say, yeah, it's kind of hard to catch a ball that's underthrown and isn't a tight spiral just because it's so not what you're used to. costume. It's right. So much different from the norm that it's just, you know, you've caught these passes for so many years expecting them to feel a certain way, and they don't feel the same.
Well, yeah. At least he got the chance to throw. Well, that must have been nice.
Right? Yeah. How many times did Tom get knocked down? 23 yesterday?
Tom got knocked down, I believe, more times than any quarterback in any game in the league this year, mm-hmm. 23. And he got knocked down, I believe, more times than he has in any single game in 10 years. I think it was 2006 when he was hit 23 times.
Yeah, I think it was he got knocked down 11 more times than ever before.
Wow.
That's
yeah.
insane.
I mean, and that's the Broncos' defense. You know, there's a reason why they were the number one defense in the league and why Peyton Manning could throw, you know, nearly a league-high 17 interceptions, and they did not score an offensive touchdown for two different games.
Yeah,
the offense didn't score a touchdown and they won.
before we move on to the NFC game, I just have to ask, big picture stuff, casual fan stuff, it's a great story to see Peyton Manning play in a Super Bowl again, right, Matt? I mean, the fact that his career was over 6 weeks ago, he was on the bench by his own team, he was a backup quarterback, and the fact that he's now leading them to Super Bowl 50 is amazing.
Yeah, I have this vision after Cam won, and we'll get to that NFC game, you know, of Roger Goodell just like shirtless in his office and his assistants rubbing Vaseline on his chest. excited. you either get Peyton Manning or you get the coronation of one of the most charismatic players in your league as a super. You cannot lose. Either Peyton Manning or Cam Newton will be holding that Lombardi trophy. It is an absolute win-win.
Yep, well, I wish we had time for the NFC game, but we got to
talk about
some other stuff.
Kevin thinks, Kevin
you
came
guys
in.
Did have that same visual? You guys didn't think the same thing?
No, we didn't think of Goodell that way, no.
Kevin came in very upset, very pissed, actually, to use his word, at his Arizona Cardinals, that they did everything wrong. How much of that was the case, Matt, and how much of it was just that the Panthers are so, so good, they did everything right?
They are so, so good. And you saw it 2 weeks. Well, you saw it with 2 weeks left in the regular season when the Seahawks were humming. And that defense was right, and their running game was right, and they put it on Arizona. And Carolina is very similar. They run the hell out of the ball, and I think that's kind of the big misconception because, really, there aren't a lot of people paying too much attention to Carolina football, even though Cam Newton's one of the more popular players in the league. But they just run. They have three backs that they signed big-money deals, and they just come at you in waves. And those three backs are Jonathan Stewart, Mike Tolbert, and Cam Newton. You know, 6'6", 260. He's their third running back. So if you can't slow them down, it's over. I mean, it doesn't matter if you have the best secondary in the league, you are at their mercy because they're just running play action, and Cam has that ridiculous arm where it looks like he just kind of flicks a paper football with his finger, and before you know it, it's 45 yards down the field in a half second.
Yeah.
And there's
who
a guy you, wide open.
By the way, let me just add, though, that Carolina is that good, but Arizona did everything wrong as well.
Yeah, I mean, they turned the ball. I mean, Carson Palmer can't turn the ball over.
Four interceptions. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then a punt. Once you get some momentum, it's 17-7. Now you force the three and out. Here comes Patrick Peterson on a punt. Maybe it's 17-14.
Yeah.
You get back in that game and he fumbles it. So, yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. You know, those are not unforced errors, but certainly in the case of Patrick Peterson, yeah, you'd have to say an unforced error that really changed the complexion of that game.
Matt, you talk about what a superstar Cam Newton has become, and he's certainly now on everybody in America's radar. Who's a player that you can think of that looked like Cam Newton, looks like how much fun he is having? I mean, who's out there as joyously playing football as Cam Newton? Anyone that you can think of?
Yeah, I think J.J. Watt falls into that category. You know, the defensive lineman for the Houston Texans. But, you know, Cam, I think that's why he's so polarizing, you know, is – And it's weird. I don't know why people insist on having it both ways. You know, why are these guys so pissed off? They get to play a game for a living. And then it's the same people that say, hey, this guy's nothing but a clown. You know, he's got to realize that he's got a city on his shoulders, and he needs to take this more seriously. Well, which one is it?
I tweeted.
He's supposed to be having fun because he's playing a game.
He's doing. By the way, he's doing both.
Yeah.
He's having fun and he's carrying the city.
I tweeted yesterday that the reason I love Cam Newton so much is because of the people that hate him so much. Those people are so awful. It's How do you great. Hate this man?
Yeah.
Yeah, Bean, you're dumbass girl from up there in Seattle suggesting the 12 is a different fan base. And how dare you disrespect the flag of the 12.
Look,
and we were at a children's hospital. Yeah, because no other fan base in any other sport
right.
ever goes to a children's hospital and helps the kids out.
I'm not going to defend her, but I will tell you, I have had mixed feelings about Cam Newton this season as well. It would be easier for me to defend him than it would be for me to criticize him, but there is something about him that rubs me the wrong way, and I'm still kind of coming to grips with that. But I certainly can't – I can't do anything but acknowledge his greatness yesterday.
I'll tell you what it is. It's that, you know, football, if you ever talk to players, is the ultimate team sport. Cam can't score those touchdowns if his offensive linemen don't block for him. Cam can't score those touchdowns if his running back isn't having a great day and the play action
right.
works so the defense bites. So people get upset when there's just so much me. Here's
yeah.
my first down. Here's my Superman.
But I got to tell you, I feel like he sort of learned that lesson. Later in the season, like he did, he was very careful to thank everybody on the team and stuff like that after the game.
Yeah.
I don't know. I felt like his sort
he
of
wore them on his shoes.
Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, I think you're right, Matt. I think because you look around on the other elite quarterbacks, you look at Brady and you look at Aaron Rodgers and you look at Russell Wilson, and none of them act like that. They're all about the team, and Cam doesn't seem like he is. But I mean,
and I think there's also another angle to that, and that is. That's social convention, not social convention, that's football convention. Hey, you're the quarterback, you're the CEO, you're supposed to look like a CEO and be the leader of this team, you're not supposed to show emotion. And Cam just said, hey, that's not me. That's not how it works for me. You know, I got to do this. I love doing this. It makes me smile. I like dancing and acting the fool because that's what works for me, and I don't care about what your unwritten football rules are. And guess what? If you win, you can do that.
Yeah.
You know, but you better win, because when he wasn't winning, that's when people were really coming down on him. And now that he's 15-1 in the regular season, absolutely destroyed the two teams in the NFC playoffs, he can do it. You know,
yeah, he can do it.
He can do whatever the heck he wants.
We are out of time, obviously, but there's going to be much more on this all day long this afternoon on the Petrus and Money Radio Show from 3 till 7 on AM 570 LA Sports. Matt, we really appreciate your time, and we'll talk again, I'm sure, before the Super Bowl. Thanks, dude.
Absolutely. All right, guys.
It is 6:54.
Dave says there was an earthquake. You guys feel anything in there?
It was like 2-point-something.
2.3.
Yeah. In Culver City. Did you guys feel it?
No.
No. It's not like we're near Culver City, too.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
True, yeah. Oh, wait, we're right in it.
There was a 7-something in Alaska yesterday.
Yeah, I think they downgraded it, but originally, yeah, it was a 7.1.
That was some crazy video.
Yeah, that's
I love those surveillance videos of those. All right, it's a Monday morning. Thanks so much for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show, 6:55. Ralph is at Sundance. I can't wait to hear his stories. He's there with his friend Kevin Smith. They took a movie there this weekend. But in the meantime, filling in for the Showbiz Beat, here's Allie.
Hey, you guys. We all know that the guys from Guns N' Roses are reuniting. They're going to be playing at Coachella. Well, we also found out that a week before Coachella, they're going to do some reunion shows at the brand new Las Vegas Arena on the Strip. That's on April 8th and 9th. But how about getting the signature VIP experience?
All right. What's that?
All right. I'm going to tell you. You're going to get one seat in the first 10 rows. Plus stuff like a tour of the stadium.
Did you say one seat?
One seat. You're going to get a tour of the, I guess it's an arena.
Yeah.
Free food and drink and a gift bag. How much you think that signature VIP experience is going for?
Well,
keep in mind that one seat in the first 10 rows.
And what's in the gift bag could make a big difference.
I don't think it's a lot. And this isn't a meet and greet. This is none of that.
One seat. I would say $150.
You would.
Uh-huh.
A little higher.
$500.
A little higher. $2,500, Kevin.
What? But
$2,500.
Why would someone pay that for one seat for,
I don't know,
the gift bag?
Right? Well, a tour of the arena.
Yeah, but
free food and drink.
I don't think you're there for the arena.
A churro.
Right.
Right? That's insane, though. Can you imagine?
Imagine how much you would try to eat, Kevin, if you would pay $2,500.
Yeah. I'm going
to
get my money's worth.
Seriously.
You bring me another goddamn churro. I know I've already had 32, but I want another one.
Oh, that's just good. You know when we joke and we say, you're just saying words now?
Yes.
And sometimes we think, okay, this story is complete Mad Libs. This one is complete Mad Libs. Former Friends star David Schwimmer is going to be starring on a new AMC series called Feed the Beast. It's him and Jim Sturgis. They're going to play two best friends who take one last shot at getting their dream restaurant off the ground. Here's where it just sounds like they're just grasping.
Word salad.
Yes. The show is about a former top chef who comes straight out of prison. He's a ladies' man with a drug habit. The other partner is a wine sommelier and it's dyslexic with an alcohol problem.
What?
What? Exactly. That, exactly.
They threw everything they could think of
everything
in there.
Everything possible. But it's scheduled to premiere in May with filming beginning next month in New York City. So stay tuned for that. Feed the Beast. Speaking of things that I didn't know I needed, how do you feel about a TV series remake of The Exorcist?
TV series?
Yes.
What TV? Because if it's a network, no. But if it's HBO, maybe.
Well, it has been just picked up for the pilot.
Netflix?
Fox. Yeah.
I mean, how much can they do?
Unless that's they have her reunited with, like, the priest and a detective, and they go and try and get exorcisms happening in other people.
Well, maybe one of them is like an alcoholic, but they're trying to open a restaurant.
I hope one's
other guy
a wine
just got out of
sommelier.
Prison, but he's dyslexic.
He's dyslexic. You guys, a former top chef who came straight out of prison, a ladies' man with a drug habit.
That's
the
all
other
I care
guy,
about.
Wine sommelier, a dyslexic with an alcohol problem,
who also rides a unicycle.
That's all I care about.
Insane.
And he's a mime.
Oh, that'd be the best. We need more mimes. Did you know how much it made in 1973, the original Exorcist, when it came out?
It was very popular.
Yes.
One of the biggest movies of all time at the time, I think.
Yes, $193 million.
Wow.
In 1973. I mean, that's insane, right?
I went to see it when it was re-released, when around 2000 or something like that. Mm-hmm. Remember, they put it back in theaters and they added that scene. Did you see it, Allie?
I don't think I saw the re-release.
They added a scene with, what's her face, Linda Blair, spider-walking backwards up the stairs in the house. And for whatever reason, that was too creepy or it was something, some reason they cut it out of the original 1970s version. Even all these years later, unbelievably terrifying to see that happen.
It was awesome.
I just got chills thinking about it. That scares the crap.
Did you see it, Kevin? It was incredible, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. It just freaks you out.
Yeah, yeah.
I loved it.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Well, we are out of time, but next hour, all of you Penthouse fans that were so sad, there may be reason to rejoice.
All right.
That's all I'm going to say. It's a little teaser for the next hour. All these stars born today on January 25th. Actor Michael Trevino, he was Tyler from The Vampire Diaries. He's 31. And Alicia Keys is 35. That is it for birthdays today. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Seriously, I don't think she's going to have the energy to go to Tokyo.
Oh, she's going to be
fine.
What I'm saying?
Like, what if she's so tired that she can't make it to Tokyo and those tickets go unused?
All week long last week, we were giving away tickets to go see 21 Pilots at the Forum, July 23rd, and everyone who won was qualified for the grand prize drawing, destination number one of the K-Rock World Tour 2016, to go see the band in Tokyo, Japan. So we just made a phone call to a young lady named Monica Pike of Los Angeles. Now, before we hear her message, let me tell you what I was shocked by.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That it rang like 10 times before it picked up. Like, nobody must ever get to her answering machine message because who lets a phone ring that often before they give up?
If it rings more than four, I'm out.
Yeah.
Right, because you just assume there's nothing hooked up because, let's face it, nobody leaves voicemail messages anymore anyway. You want to get a hold of somebody, you just text them. But fortunately, we did put in the 45 minutes and it was worth it because here was Monica's outgoing message.
Hey, you know the drill.
So, your fear, Kevin, is that she's clinging to life and she's really maybe not fit for international travel?
Are you kidding? I have to go to the airport? No, I'm so tired.
Now I gotta get up and get dressed. And I gotta leave my house.
I'm just saying, Monica, call us back, and if you're too tired, let us know because we'd like someone to go to Tokyo, Japan to see 21 Pilots because that seems cool.
Let me hear Monica again, please. Do you mind? Could I?
Hey, you know the drill.
You guys!
Maybe she has a strong friend who can carry her into the venue and just hold her neck up so that she can see the stage.
maybe she's an Arizona Cardinals fan. You know,
it's
or
just sad. It's just a tough day for
after the game last night.
Hey, you know the girl.
All right. All right, Monica, congratulations. Have fun in Tokyo. All this week, destination number two of the K-Rock World Tour 2016 is Weezer in Amsterdam. We're going to give you some tickets to go see them at the Irvine Amphitheater on August 6th. That's going to be a great show, by the way, because it's Panic at the Disco and Andrew McMahon also on the same bill. And then you are qualified to stand by boarding list, and we'll make the grand prize drawing and maybe call you next Monday to tell you you're going to Amsterdam.
Hey, you know the girl.
All right. Thank you, Monica. Last hour, we talked to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com like we do on Mondays, and he was telling us a cute story, I thought, about how actor Mark Ruffalo lost his wallet and phone in the snowstorm in New York City this week.
Right.
And how the people who found it, hilariously, by the way, had no idea who Mark Ruffalo was and didn't have any way to get a hold of him because the phone was locked. But fortunately, somebody texted in, so they were able to call that number from a different phone and ended up getting back together, and they got a big reward in the whole thing. And I thought it would be interesting because we haven't talked about this in a long time. Everybody has lost their phone and or their wallet at some point.
Is it surprising to you that it found its way back to him? Because I sort of feel like my fallback position is, well, it's gone because, I mean, who's going to take the time to try and, you know, track you down and all that stuff? And if there's something in it, they'll probably steal it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wonder what the percentages are of people who lose a wallet, people who lose a phone, and how often it comes back to them.
Because this happened to me one time where I left my wallet at a...
One time.
McDonald's.
How many times do you think it's happened to Kevin, Allie?
Insert joke here.
How this was
dare
one
you?
One time that week.
Seriously.
At McDonald's, too. Kevin.
But they know you at all the McDonald's. Right. Somebody, an employee would have just picked it up and said, oh, it's Kevin's. But I'll give it to him tomorrow when he comes in.
But I got a call and ended up meeting somebody that gave me the wallet back, and there was $60 in it, and there was still $60 in it.
Wow.
Right?
How did they get your phone number?
I don't remember that part of the
because
story.
Because that's another thing
that's
that
the
makes,
problem with wallets, yeah.
Yeah, that's the problem with wallets is that doesn't give them an easy way to get back to you unless, and I don't think anybody's going to go to the trouble of taking your address off your driver license
no,
and sending you a letter.
I think
you know?
They probably just put something on it because of my condition.
You know what I'm saying.
So anyway, but they did get a hold of me, and I met him at the McDonald's, and I checked the wallet thinking, I'm so happy I have my wallet back and my credit cards and my driver's license.
Yeah.
I don't care about the $60.
Right.
And then I opened the wallet, and the $60 was there. So that's crazy.
Did you give him the $60?
I gave him the $60.
Nice.
I was so happy. Yeah.
You gave him all the money.
Yes.
So their reward for not stealing the money was that they got the money.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was $60, and I had credit cards and my license and
that's
everything.
Great.
That's great.
To
so
not
much
have
more.
To redo
right.
all of that, I would have given him $260.
Right.
Just
and I
for
had
that.
Redone that stuff like six times that month. So really, that gets old.
Yeah.
Well, we want to take calls from you. If you have a story of losing your wallet and or phone and what was involved, if there's something interesting about you getting it back, we want you to call us at 1-800-520-1067 because I bet there are all sorts of ways that this can go. I bet that there are people who are just like the people that found Kevin's wallet, just happy to hand it over because they're decent human beings. But I bet there are people who have held out for blackmail. There are people who've complained that they haven't gotten enough of a reward. I bet there are people who stole a bunch of stuff and then it got awkward and ugly when you did get together.
Look, when I found it, it just had that one business card. That's all that was in it.
That's all that was in it, right? And I'll tell you what else I'm also super interested in is I love these stories is when you play detective because you've got, say, Find My iPhone, for instance, or Find My Mac, or I'm sure there are programs for Windows computers too, where if somebody steals it, you have a way of tracking down where it is. And then the police aren't going to help you with that, right, Allie? They don't care about that.
No, it's so far down on their list.
So it's on you. Like, you now know where your iPhone is. What are you going to do? Are you going to drive over to a stranger's house that you don't know, because that's what strangers are,
right?
And you're going to knock on their door and you're going to accuse somebody you've never met to their face of having your phone. And then what are you going to do if they say, I don't have it?
I have a friend's parent who has to be 75, mm-hmm. had to find my iPhone, and it was in Compton. Mm-hmm. Drove to Compton to a house, knocked on the door by himself.
Oh.
Didn't call the cops, nothing else. And it was just like, okay, well, I hope that goes well. Oh. So he knocks on the door, and the parents open it, and they find out that their kids found this phone, and it's amongst their stuff, and they get super angry at their kids for stealing the phone. It worked out perfectly.
Oh, nice.
We're so sorry. We apologize. It was really sort of a beautiful ending.
I don't think that's common. So thank God it ended that way for him.
Does he live in Compton? I don't know where he lives.
Wow.
You...
Wow.
Awful.
I'm not going to take
Kevin.
It back. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to take it
you
back.
Really, God damn it. Right. Really should rethink.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. We want your interesting stories of lost and found here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Why don't we start with Ramses? He's in Valencia. He's online too. He's going to get us going. And by the way, if you don't have access to a phone, you can't call, you're at work, you can always text us if you want to at the number 2KROQ25767. Ramses, appreciate you calling, sir. What's going on? What happened?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hi, good.
I was in Mammoth, and I went to the hot springs out there, and I left my wallet, and it was just after Christmas, so I had, like, a bunch of money. I think it was, like, $300. And so I left it, and then maybe, like, 3 months later, I got a... you know, I got it in the mail, and this guy had just sent it back to me.
What? 3 months later, you got the whole wallet with the cash inside?
Yeah, there was, like, I think, like, $280 still left, but I think he probably used the money to, like, mail it back. But most of it was there.
Asshole, right? That's, I mean, that is unbelievable, because I bet after a day... You just thought, well, that's gone. I'll never see any of that stuff again.
You had to have gotten a new license and credit cards and stuff in 3 months, did you not?
Yeah, I got everything new.
Did he, I mean, did you mail him some cash back as a reward or anything like that?
No, I didn't really, I mean, I had his address on there, but that was it. He didn't really contact me or anything like that. And no,
oh, so then you're the asshole.
Well, that's
right?
Cool.
No thank you note sent back, Ramses?
I don't see Ramses as a thank you note kind of guy. I don't see him having his own stationery.
Great story. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. All right. Let's do one more before the break. Let's go to Peter, line 5, please. He is in Tustin. Peter is the one who found the wallet. It'll be interesting to hear that side of the story. Hey, Peter, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
You bet.
Yeah, I was in the bathroom. A bunch of local businesses where I work, they share a restroom. And I was doing my thing. I looked down. There's a wallet. I checked to see if there's anything cash, and there's $2,000, like $2,200.
Oh, my.
Wow. Dude, you are going to Las Vegas. That's the first thing that goes in your mind.
Dude, hell yeah. I was thinking, man, I'm going to come up. But then the good side of me was like, no, you know, somebody probably needs these $2,000. So I walk around.
And then you're like, shut up, good guy.
Well, I almost walked away with it. I really almost walked away with it, but I did not. And anyway, they found the guy who owned the wallet, and he gave me $200 for returning his wallet to him.
It's not $2,000, man.
No, but
you did the right thing.
You
Peter.
Did the right thing.
Did he do $1,800 of the right thing, though? Come on, you guys.
Yeah, I did the right thing, and I got free money. I think if I would have stolen it, I would have been screwed down
yeah.
the line, right?
Karma can get you, Peter. Look
oh,
at
yeah.
Bean.
And karma did me good that day, right?
Exactly.
It did, yeah. I'm just kidding, Peter. You did absolutely the right thing, sir. We appreciate
You're crappy, Bean.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. Your calls of lost and found stories right after this on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. Hold on, please.
Hey, you know the drill.
Yeah. Okay. Monica. I hope we hear from that little sad turtle this morning so we know she's okay.
Do we need to send someone over there?
I'm not sure. Let's give her some time. She could just still be asleep. Hey, we're taking your calls of phones and wallets lost and recovered and what you had to go through and if there was a reward and if there was extortion and if there was gunfire. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Listen to this from Deanna. My mother-in-law was celebrating something in Las Vegas with her girlfriends from high school. I think it was somebody's 50th birthday or something. A few martinis deep, my mother-in-law looks next to her and notices that someone has left her wallet on the bar. She looks inside, doesn't recognize the person on the driver's license, and turns the wallet into the bartender. They have a few more martinis. They're getting ready to go, and she realizes she has lost her wallet. She asks the bartender if anyone has turned in a wallet, and he replied, "Yeah, you did. I thought it was weird, but I figured you'd figure it out eventually." She has never lived that down. She turned in her own wallet and then went to the bartender to ask if anyone had turned in a wallet.
Didn't you say as part of that story that she looked in it to see if she recognized anyone?
Did not.
Oh, wow. I want to party with her.
Same. That is the power of the martini, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go to Nikki, line one, Huntington Beach, up first on the Kevin and Bean Show for this round of calls. What'd you lose? How'd you get it back? What's the story? Thanks for holding on, Nikki.
Oh, no problem. Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey, Allie.
Hi, Nikki.
I lost my cell phone in Washington, D.C. Me and a friend went out there to go play tourist, and it was in a taxi cab. We went out to dinner, lost the phone. I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I lost it. Got back to the hotel, put a stop on calls. This is when it used to be a flip phone.
Right.
And came back, and to find out that someone had been calling my aunt and uncle saying, hey, I found this phone out here. Are you Aunt Margaret? Did you have someone out here visiting? And sure enough, my aunt was like, I think that's my niece. Let me find out. So, yeah, it was my phone. And they had a niece that lived out there. And she lived 20 minutes away from the person that found the phone. And she picked it up. And it just so happened that she was visiting the next week.
Wow.
This yeah.
is all good.
Yeah, you had a lot of lucky breaks in your favor. That's incredible.
Yeah, I was for sure thought that the phone was going to be gone forever. So,
and isn't it? I mean, like the story that you know, when Kevin had his wallet returned to him in the McDonald's there. Doesn't it just make you feel so happy about humans when something like that happens? Because you feel like those stories don't get very much press. All we ever hear is bad things that people do.
Completely.
But then there are really lots of like really cool people out there who will go out of their way to help you out. And that must make you feel real good.
I know. And to be, you know, like halfway across, you know, the states. And I was just like, there's no way, you know. And
exactly.
To have her call and just go through my phone list and be like, well, this is a family member, and that's a family member. So, you know, she you know, did good, and I was so happy about
that's
it.
That's cool. Thank you, Nikki. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Johnny, who is calling us from Wilmington. Hi, Johnny. Hello.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Yeah, hi. You found a wallet?
Yes, I found a wallet outside a liquor store that I go to all the time. This is years back ago. And it had some cash in it. I didn't bother to look at the ID. I just took the cash, threw away the wallet, and then just bought some pot and had a good time that day. And going back on that other story before...
Wait! Hold on! Hold on, stop! Johnny, that's your story?
That's why I went to him.
Wait, you took the money out, threw the wallet away, and bought the pot. All right, I'm sorry, I interrupted. So Allie brought up, well, what about the karma of that situation? Did that ever come and haunt you?
Well, see, no, because you got to look at it the other way, too. I mean, you guys talk about bad karma, but how do you know that wasn't good karma?
How do we know that wasn't good?
Oh, you mean like that was paying you back for something that happened earlier?
Well, not necessarily paying me back, but I mean, if it's there, then it must have been there for a reason. So.
No,
it was because somebody lost it. Works.
It was because somebody lost it, Johnny. Why didn't you make some effort?
He was being paid good karma.
It had to be there for a reason.
What was good karma?
Well, there. Come on, you guys. What's wrong with good karma? Johnny makes a good point.
He does.
Our friend Andrew Siciliano from the NFL, excuse me, Network joins us next hour to talk about the conference championships games this weekend. Also, Dave Duchovny getting his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning, and we talked to him just after 9. That's all coming up today on K-Rock.
Right now, time for the Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO. You can call on any topic 24 hours a day. Psycho Mike is our first caller.
Uh-oh.
Odd, right? Because he could call us.
Sure.
Right? But he did leave this message, and I think he made a good point.
It's Mike Atherwood, Psycho Mike. So I'm walking down the Venice Boardwalk, and there's a bunch of Europeans, and a lot of them are riding Segways. And I see, like, a Segway gang coming, right? Like, off in the distance. So I'm like, oh, I can't wait to clown these guys. And the guy in front is closer to me, and it's Conor McGregor. So I shut the f*** up.
It's Conor McGregor.
That's insane.
Leading now, a Segway gang.
Do you think lots of cities have Segway tours now for tourists who come to that? Do you think that's what was happening, or do you think it was just him
no.
and his mates just
yes.
out just rumbling through town?
Yeah, I would think so.
That's awesome,
I
Mike.
I need to
Thank
join
you.
The Segway gang.
Thank
yeah,
you for the call on that.
I'm not positive that this person likes us.
Dick, 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 dick. And if you want to get back to me, my phone number is 1-800-EAT.
assholes.
Wow. Okay. I'm not a positive
fan.
No.
Podcast listeners, thank you for going the extra mile to listen to this program. This she's calling a little bit too late because she's a podcast listener, but she's got an amazingly horrific story.
I'm so bummed that I missed the horrible roommates conversation because I'm a podcast listener. I win the prize because my male roommate will clip his toenails in the kitchen, like literally 1 foot up on the counter, clipping his toenails, flying everywhere. Like, hey, you cooking something on the stove? Here, have some toenails in your chili.
Oh, right.
But help me understand this, guys, because it's been
a while since
I've had a roommate. Once two people live together, they have to stay together forever?
Yes, I think that's the rule.
There's no possibility of switching that out, maybe getting a different person living in your home?
Okay. No, I don't know. That's not my understanding. Bean, do you have the caller Ashley, who was very, very, very upset with us when we were talking pro-pot, oddly enough?
You sound so ignorant with your generalization.
That one? That Ashley? Yep, angry Ashley? Sure, yeah.
You're being so rude. Am I on the air?
Hello? Am I on the air? This is Ashley. Hello? Marijuana? Am I on the air? You're being quite rude.
That's our girl.
You guys did a scientific survey. I think I was out sick on Adam Driver.
Yes.
Yes, very popular actor, Kylo Ren from Star Wars, also one of the stars of Girls. And a listener had written to us saying, my friends and I are all completely split on this. Half of us think he is ridiculously hot and sexy. The other half think he just looks like a mongrel. What's the truth? So that's why we put it to the audience, and they ended up deciding that he was, in fact, attractive.
I just listened to your guys' discussion, your scientific survey on Adam Driver, and I could not be more disgusted. I cannot abide. He is the grossest dude. You guys keep talking about his wafting hair. They only did that to hide his elephant ears. It's so bad. He's like slimy, like his mouth is always like full of spit. It's so gross. His nose is so big you could stop up the Panama Canal. Not hot. Not hot. No bueno.
So put her down for a yes?
I think a yes.
Okay.
She understands her opinion no longer matters now that the matter has been settled by the scientific survey. I mean, that's why we do the survey, is because now it's fact that Adam is driver's hot. Yeah, there's no such thing as your opinion now.
You know, Halloween spooks.
Mm-hmm. Outside my window.
Yeah.
Patriots lost, Patriots lost, Patriots lost. Allie McKay is probably crying. Patriots lost outside the window. Patriots lost behind the trees. I wish that Allie could see, but she can't because she's having sex with me, and that's Halloween spooks. I meant the Patriots lost.
See, it's time for you to have something new to spend your time on. Allie, why not that young man?
All right.
Yeah. All right, there you go.
Oh, my God. Knock it off. Get rid of the girl on the show. It's terrible. Hmm. I mean, Kevin, you're cool. Ralph, you're amazing. Omar, good. Allie, you're great. But the girl on the show, oh, God, get rid of her. I don't care that she lives in Seattle. Douchebags.
How dare.
I like him a lot.
You well played, sir.
Sir.
Well played. More Bean Love.
I'm pretty sure we can all agree on you, Bean.
About anything in particular or just in general?
And finally,
heard a new phrase when you guys were talking to Jim Rohn the other day. Swimming uphill. I wonder if that one has enough altitude to get off the boat.
And now, a moment with Bean.
I mean, they are definitely swimming uphill until, as you say, they start winning some championships.
That was A Moment with Bean.
In Bean's defense, it is difficult to swim uphill.
It's real hard.
I mean,
right?
That's a correct statement. Argue it with science. 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. We will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Dave Duchovny on the program. Ow. Just ran into my own microphone.
What the hell's going on with you?
Walk us through it. What happened? Are you
walking around doing
no,
the show?
Just sitting there. I just turned to look at the paperwork here, and I just hit myself in the head. Hey, I'm playing hurt here, man.
Bean?
Okay.
What the hell?
Also, we'll qualify you for Weezer in Amsterdam, and we have room for your telephone calls on any topic.
What do you think is wrong with Bean that he's just turning his head into the microphone?
Come on. That has to have happened to you guys many times throughout the years, where you just turn the wrong way and just hit the mic.
Is the mic always in the same place?
Eh, close enough.
And you have the same head?
No, but you move it around a little bit as you're doing things in your space.
I'm just suggesting that's a possible topic that people could call on.
You can call on any topic. If you've got football-related things.
I feel
things,
like we've got football covered.
Well, I'm just saying.
Because maybe, we have Andrew Siciliano and all
maybe
that.
Maybe there's some people who enjoy how much pain Allie and or Kevin are in this morning. Would like to rub that in. Perhaps you are yourself a Broncos or Panthers fan. I think it'd be fine for you to call.
Those calls will get through or on
rag
the air
a little bit. Or
have to see them get hung up on.
Or if you were in the snow in the East this weekend, or you saw an awesome movie, or just have a question or a comment. The beautiful thing about Kevin, I mean, what's good is that it can be about anything. Whatever's on your mind, you call us and you get on the air. 1-800-520-1067. That's coming up just after 8. First, though, in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat again this hour. Here's Allie.
Yes, Ralph, of course, at Sundance in Park City. His movie Yoga Hosers premiered last night.
Fantastic.
So it'll be fun to hear how it all went down. Even though he won't say a word because he won't tell us much.
He does not share. He does not share much.
He'll get back on Wednesday and we'll go, "How'd it go?" And he'll go, "Great."
But his passion, he's so great at radio, but Ralph's passion is acting.
Yeah.
And to be at Sundance an actual movie that people are excited to see has just got to be, it's got to feel like a dream come true as part of his career. So I wish he'd tell us what that's like.
And soon, because you're about to go down.
Bean?
I'm okay.
Okay. All right, something that will cheer you up, Bean. Last week we heard that Penthouse Magazine was going all digital. There would be no more Penthouse Magazine to put underneath your mattress. Well, that is not true, apparently. I guess that the PR release confused people because it said they were closing its New York headquarters, laying off all employees there, and putting out a digital edition. But they never said that they're discontinuing the paper version. Everybody just assumed through that press release. So I guess Penthouse was all bent out of shape on Friday. So they released a terse message saying they will still continue to publish the magazine on paper as well as going digital.
I like that they're mad.
They're mad. They're like, why didn't you understand our first press release?
And by the way, I read that story, and that press release was so poorly written.
Yeah.
It was open for interpretation. And the way the industry is going, it was logical that people would conclude that they weren't putting out a print magazine.
Did they end it with
JK?
LOL.
JK.
Naked.
All right. That's a not soundbite, but I liked it. We all know that huge, huge, huge record amounts of snow all across the East Coast did some damage with the box office, and not in a good way. Over 300 theaters closed Friday and even more on Saturday, leading a lot of people to stay in. They weren't going out and watching movies. However, The Revenant pulled in $16 million, Star Wars The Force Awakens $14.3 million. Third was Ride Along 2 with $12.9 million. Dirty Grandpa, Kevin, you saw it, right?
I didn't, but I really wanted to.
Debuted at 11.5. The Boy came in at 5, debuting at 11.3, followed by The Fifth Wave, 13 Hours, Daddy's Home, Norm of the North, and The Big Short. Did you ring the bell for Daddy's Home?
I didn't touch it.
Mm.
There was no bell? There was no bell.
Oh, my God.
Did you hear a bell in your head?
I did. So did Chip.
No.
You rang the bell for Daddy's Home.
I didn't touch it.
I think you don't even remember, Bean.
Guys. No, I did not.
Kevin, what are you touching over there?
Just, I thought there was something else. Never mind.
Good Lord.
Shut up, Chip.
Well, look, Bean.
Fine.
Okay. A lot of people did stay in, though, because of the snow, and they think that helped out the numbers for Saturday Night Live, hosted by Ronda Rousey, with musical guest Selena. It pulled in the second best ratings of the season, just behind the show anchored by Donald Trump.
Hey, King of Mexico, did Ronda Ruffy watch Ronda Rousey on TV this weekend?
Unfortunately, she did.
Oh, Ronda Ruffy didn't enjoy it either.
No.
That is a little puppy with discerning taste.
That is really bad. That his oil-slicked rat dog didn't even like it. Not good. Not good at all. Well, in case you were wondering, Chris Rock will still be hosting the Oscars. Who was wondering this?
Nobody.
And, ooh, here's shocking news. He had already finished his monologue a week ago, but now he's going to rewrite it to work in some jokes about Oscars so white. Well, of course he is.
Yeah,
why is this news?
How is that not just an assumption?
Why am I getting angry?
I don't know.
I'm not sure either. Do you want to hit something else that shouldn't be played?
No, I'm good.
No, you're good?
Yeah.
All right. All these stars born today. Stores? Stars. On today, January 25th, Alicia Keys turns 35. Michael Trevino, formerly Tyler from The Vampire Diaries, is 31. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
1-800-520-1067. Time for Kevin Beans. What's good?
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
Good indeed. You can call on any topic on the Kevin and Bean Show, a feature we try to squeeze in whenever we have time. And it's exactly for guys like Andy in Paramount, who has, he's on line four, he has something very important that he wants to complain is not being talked about enough on K-Rock. Hi. Andy, welcome to the show, man. What's going on?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Good morning, Allie. How you doing?
Good. Great. Welcome. What's good?
Hey, one of my all-time favorite bands at the Drive-In just announced they're going to do a tour and release a new album, and I've been listening to these guys since I was 11, so I was kind of offended I didn't hear about that from you guys first.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, because Chip and I had a long conversation on Friday about how both of us were really excited about this, because this is something that fans have been waiting for a long time, but I think it's because they've been off the radar for so long, and we don't play very many of their songs anymore, that it kind of hasn't been top of mind.
So you two are talking about it off the air?
Yes,
that didn't help Andy. Andy how?
That did not help Andy. What I'm telling you, Andy, is
we're on the same page.
There are people here at K-Rock throughout the day who like At the Drive-In and are excited about it, and I can't explain to you why it hasn't made it onto the air, but that's an oversight because that should be heralded because that's great news.
Okay, awesome. We're still friends. You redeemed yourself.
All right, good. We're still friends. I'm glad you called. I was worried, Andy, that you and I were drifting apart.
Omar and Cedric.
Yeah, sure. Why not? What the hell? They're great guys.
You guys rock. Love you guys.
All right. Thank you, man. And we'll have more details as we get closer to those dates. That's very awesome news. All right. Let's go to Matt in San Clemente. This is the most confusing call on the board for me. I can't wait to hear what he has to say about it.
Okay. Matt, hi.
Hey, Kevin, Bean, Allie, Ralph. Good to hear you.
Hey, what's good?
Well, you know, are you guys familiar with the phrase Netflix and chill?
Sure.
Of course. Yes.
Right, it's all over the internet. So, you know, I'm actually engaged, so I'm not quite in the Netflix and chill mode anymore. But I'm kind of confused on how this actually works, because I'm pretty sure the only reason it works is Netflix has so many poor movies on there that you're left with just the only option of swallowing each other's face.
Of just, yeah, Netflix and chill, for folks who don't know, that's an expression that means come over to my house, we'll pretend we're going to watch TV, and 5 minutes later we'll be having sex. That's what that means. But you're complaining about the quality of the programs on Netflix because you're going there for movies and they don't have the stuff you want?
Am I doing it wrong?
Yes, a lot of things. I have a feeling a lot of things.
like, give me an example. Like, what were you expecting? You're new to Netflix, right?
No, I'm pretty new to Netflix.
Okay, so, what were you expecting that you're not getting out of Netflix?
Well, let me just say, if I wanted every bad Adam Sandler movie, I'd be in love, man. I'd be all over Netflix every day. But what? I'm really getting stuck. I think I watched the two good movies that they have. I watched Pulp Fiction. And I watched Django.
I think a lot of people are going to Netflix for movies like that. They're going for the original programming. They're going for the comedy specials, that type of thing. Things that you can't find anywhere else but Netflix.
Have you seen Making a Murderer or Narcos or some of their original programming?
So it's all about the programming.
I think Allie's right that a lot of people are going for you know, for House of Cards and for Arrested Development.
Peaky Blinders.
Well, not that, but yes. Beast of No Nation, like Kevin mentioned, Narcos. They really do have tons of original shows, but they also do have thousands and thousands of movies, too, that change all the time. Just because the movie you wanted to see this month isn't on Netflix doesn't mean it might not be on next month, you know. They do
so
change.
You're telling me not to cancel the subscription.
Yeah, I think you're just a complainer.
I'm
sorry, Matt.
And maybe what I do. I was looking forward to the Netflix and chilling, but now I'm going to open my eyes to a whole new thing.
Yeah. Right. Wow. And by the way, we don't talk about it much anymore, but that Wet Hot American Summer, first day of camp, that was so funny that they came out with. They got Daredevil. I mean, they really do have a ton of shows. Bloodline was another one that people fell in love with.
Just to make things clear, though, Netflix and chilling is still better. The Netflix. Come on.
All right, dude. Appreciate the call. Thank you so much.
You know what? We're not going to make out. I'm going to watch some shows.
You guys up for a confusing relationship question?
Well, I'll help.
All right. Let's go to Travis, line 3.
That's Allie's specialty.
He's in Buena Park. Travis, how can we help you, young man?
All right. So this past Christmas, I was introduced to a quote-unquote family member. I have an older sister who has a different dad than me.
Okay.
Her father was married to my mom.
Okay.
Back when they were 18.
Gonna have to speed it up, though. Go off the air at 10.
Her dad is actually the brother to the girl that I'm talking to.
Her dad is the brother.
All right, I'm gonna pretend I'm still with you. Go ahead.
To the girl that you're talking to, okay? Yes?
Anyways, this family considers me a nephew, even though I have no technical relation to them by blood.
Okay.
His soon-to-be daughter-in-law is the girl that I'm talking to.
Okay. I'm going to act like I'm still with you. Go ahead.
It's very, very confusing. Needless to say, I call him Uncle Chad, but...
Okay. What's the point? Where's all this headed?
Unless Uncle Chad is touching you, I'm not happy with this call. I feel like there's no payoff.
I think your question is it weird that you're dating this girl because you feel like you're related to everyone around her, but there's no blood relation? So is that what you're asking?
How did you do that?
I speak Travis.
Wow, you're a genius.
Travis, no, it's not weird. There's no blood relation. You didn't grow up with this girl. She wasn't like your family that whole time, right?
No, not at all. But I did grow up with her soon-to-be father-in-law.
Well, you're not going to date him, so it's fine.
Netflix and chill.
Yeah, Netflix and chill, Travis.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for answering my question.
Thank you for the call. All right.
K-Rock World 2.
God wanted me to mention especially that he has appointed Kevin as his only true voice in California.
Right. I'm sorry.
Whoa. Stop right there.
What was that?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No. Kevin is not speaking for God in California.
I am the only voice of God in Southern California.
Everybody else has failed him.
That's right.
Kevin can't speak for Kevin. He can't speak
How
for
dare
any
you?
Of us.
How dare you insult?
Speak for God?
How dare you insult God's mouthpiece? So that happened.
That is the voice of our friend, the late Reverend Speaker Gerald Pauly. His wife, Linda, is still continuing the great work of channeling from the afterlife and spreading God's word all throughout the country. And we are so happy to have her back on the line from her small village in Maine. Back on the Kevin Bean Show, Linda. How are you? Happy New Year, my sweetness.
Hi, same to you. And good morning to my favorite people in the whole world.
Oh, you're so nice,
you're
Linda.
You're so sweet. Now, Linda, you didn't get any of that crazy East Coast snow. You're a little too far north for that. You were fine this weekend, right?
Yeah, it was great here. I was surprised.
You were surprised it was great that you didn't get snow?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, especially after last year. All right. Well, let's before we talk about the reason we have you on today, which is your new Donald Trump campaign song. You're still, even though God bless Gerald, he's gone. You're still in touch with the afterlife. You do still hear from Kurt Cobain and John Lennon and all sorts of other people, right?
Right. When they have a new song, I'm usually able to pick it right up in no time.
Okay. Now, who wrote this song?
I believe it was John Lennon and some of his other composer friends over the year.
And you just wake up one day and your spidey senses are tingling. And you just immediately go to your keyboard and you just lay it down before you forget it. Is it something like that, Linda?
Yeah. Well, this one was thanks to our good friend Omar Khan.
It was sent to Omar, DJ Omar Khan.
Well, he suggested, I suggested to him after you guys played that song, you know, with the kids singing for Donald Trump.
Right, yes.
Right, right, yeah.
I suggested to him, why don't you write something? You could do a lot better than they did. And he says, why don't you try channeling something? It would be great. So next thing I know, I hear one of the guys in the afterlife saying, that's already been done. All you have to do is pick up on it.
You heard one of the guys in the afterlife say that? Could it have been David Bowie? How awesome would that be?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right.
Well, that would have been awesome.
I feel like that would have been awesome.
I just feel like you just shattered Kevin's dreams. He was so excited there for a second.
Yes.
All right. So, Linda, so when you speak on topics of what's going on in the news or politics or religion, are you giving us your views usually, or are you just channeling views from those you contact from the other side?
Well, I go by what Gerald used to teach and, you know, what I know that the people in the afterlife feel about certain things.
Okay. And what do they think on the other side about Donald Trump? He's very popular in the United States right now. He very likely could be the Republican nominee for president. What do they think in heaven about him?
They definitely want him to win.
They do.
Oh,
they want
how about
him to
that?
Be president.
Okay.
And they feel he's the best way to get the Democrats out of the White House and so forth, and he has the most chance of winning.
That strikes me as a little odd that John Lennon, I guess, is the one who wrote this song, would feel that way.
Yeah, because he was very much a Democrat.
Well, they just want the best person.
I see.
You know,
so it's not Democrat or Republican, it's just who's the best.
Right.
Okay.
Who
okay.
they feel could, you know, get ahead.
All right. Well, listen, we want to play a little bit of the song called We'll Make America Great Again. Now, Kevin, you have the tape, and I think we'll stop along the way and maybe ask some questions if that's okay, Linda.
If you want to make America great again, just jump up and turn around. If you want to make America strong again, to make hope and peace abound, you gotta get going and run along. Get something done to make your point not wrong. Want to make America great again, just jump up.
Okay, now I have a question here, and I know you didn't write it. The great John Lennon did, but so if you want to make America great again, just jump up and turn around?
I guess they just mean, you know, do something about stuff that's going on, get it working right.
Oh, I see, to like take action, you're not literally saying jump up and turn around.
Right, just don't sit there and complain, do something.
Okay. Do you also put your left foot in and then put your right foot in?
Bean, that is the hokey pokey.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I got confused. I'm sorry.
Very
back
different.
To you.
All right,
back to the song.
We will make America great again. You know darn well it's true. We'll make America great again. We just need some help for you. You gotta get going and run along. Get something done to make your point known. Wanna make America great again? Just jump up and turn around.
Big ending.
Just jump up and turn around.
Right. Pretty inspirational. Linda? Linda? Hang on.
USA!
Okay.
USA!
Okay.
USA!
Can I ask, do you mind if I just...
another question, if I could. If the crowd could. Come on. Linda.
USA! USA! USA!
Okay.
USA! USA!
That's fine. Hey, thanks for talking to us, Linda. You're the best! See you soon! Bye-bye now!
Bye.
Hey, before we talk to Andrew Siciliano, how about a little bit more of Panthers fan number one?
Carolina Panthers with sharp teeth and claws. We growl to win this game. We call pro football. Our offense and defense so intense. Your team will be the losers if you got a lick of sense. You dig the NFL, my lyrics and my rhymes. You eat up what I'm saying, spitting fly hip-hop lines.
That's one thing he's doing is spitting those fly hip-hop lines.
I know that.
Andrew is in Mobile, Alabama, of all places today. What the hell's going on, Johnny Football? What's happening out there?
Hey, everybody. Love the song. It is Senior Bowl week in Mobile, Alabama. So when I say that the entire football world is in Mobile, Alabama, I am in no way exaggerating. Well, unless you're playing in that big game, whatever that thing is, in Santa Clara in 13 days.
I've not heard of it.
That big game, right?
Not aware of it.
Every single coach, general manager, scout, assistant coach, agent, everybody is concentrated in two blocks here in Mobile, Alabama for the Senior Bowl.
Okay.
I'm not
all right. So
everybody.
You'll have a. I'm sure you'll have a lot to talk about on the NFL Network this week. Let's talk about yesterday. What was the biggest surprise, if any, for you between the two games, Andrew?
What was the biggest? You know, I thought Arizona, even if they didn't win, I thought they'd make it interesting. I thought they'd make it close. I don't think anyone thought they'd go down without a fight and, in essence, be non-competitive. I mean, the Arizona Cardinals were. As ridiculous as this sounds, non-competitive yesterday. I mean, the score says that, and obviously got out of hand late, but you knew, even at halftime, unlike last week, that you know, there was not going to be a comeback.
Yeah, well, even in the first quarter when the Panthers were doing well, and Arizona went into the Wildcat offense, and then they did that double reverse, like, pass, I was like, what's happening right now? You could tell everything was going wrong.
Kevin, your Twitter feed yesterday.
Kevin was mad at everybody, wasn't he?
I was not thrilled. I want my team to fight and show up and do its best. If we get beat, we get beat. But don't show up like that, for God's sake.
But I do give you credit. You do retweet the people that call you out.
Oh, of course. If I find them funny and it's at my expense, I don't care. I retweet it. It's funny. But it was a rough day.
Andrew, you pointed out that Carson Palmer clearly wasn't right and said it wasn't his fault. What did you mean?
Well, I said it's not all his fault is what I meant. And some people thought that I was trying to pass the blame. What I meant was clearly it wasn't all his fault in that the entire team didn't show up. He wasn't the only person that played poorly. Barry Fitzgerald was dropping passes.
Yeah,
couldn't stop Cam Newton. So to say he's the only reason why they gave up 50 points and lost and got blown out, that would be unfair.
Although he did his part by throwing to the Panthers quite regularly.
He threw to them many times.
Yes.
He personally turned the ball over six times.
Yeah.
Two of them were in where he was getting destroyed in the backfield. Granted, he held the ball a while, but give Carolina credit because they were blanketing those receivers. I'm saying it's not all his fault that they gave up 50. His finger... You know, they said after the game it was all right. I've heard from plenty of people that the index finger on his right hand is throwing hand is not right, meaning it's damp, it's broken, it's dislocated, it's ligament, whatever the heck is wrong with it. But clearly.
Yeah, that was not only a finger issue yesterday.
No. I mean, no one was pulling his finger and they were all of a sudden kidding.
Yeah.
Can you say anything negative about the Panthers' performance yesterday? Did they have any blind spots or weaknesses that you saw?
Thomas Davis broke his arm. That's the negative.
Okay.
That's the only negative. And he is, I know I tweeted this yesterday, he is truly one of the good people. He's blown his knee out like three times. I'm not kidding. And for him to play the Pro Bowl level, finally gets to the Super Bowl, he had surgery on a broken arm this morning. And he claims he's going to try to play 13 days later with a broken arm.
Yeah.
So, God bless him. I hope he can.
All right, let's talk AFC. What kind of words of wisdom and condolence do you have for Miss Allie McKay?
And then for all Broncos fans. Sorry, what?
How does she feel?
Honestly, I don't feel as horrible as if they actually played good and lost. They played horribly.
And still almost
won, which doesn't bode well for the Broncos. But they were horrible. That O-line should have walked home from Denver. It was awful. It was disgusting. So I'm not as mad as if they played their hearts out and it was just almost there. No, they stunk. They stunk. They left poor Tom out to dry. And it's
despicable. A statistical proof of how badly their offensive line played?
Give it to me.
Sure.
Okay, so Tom Brady was hit more times yesterday than any quarterback had been hit this entire season in any game, regular or postseason.
Yeah.
But wait, there's more. The Broncos yesterday blitzed fewer times than they had all season.
Really? Just the regular defensive linemen were getting to him that much? Wow.
In other words, they were playing base, and the Broncos were whooping their tails.
Wow. Yeah.
Whooping them.
Yeah.
All right. Now, Broncos are going to play the Panthers. Is that going to be an ugly game?
Why do you think Carolina's going to run them off the field?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
I don't think they're going to run them off the field. I will say this, though. The biggest thing in this game is, can Denver stop the Carolina run game? And if they do, then it becomes a different game. But I don't know. Look, they got 13 days to figure out how to stop Cam Newton. And can we praise Cam Newton for a second here?
Right.
Not only is he the entire passing game, he is their entire run game.
Yeah, he was amazing.
Like, if you want a picture of an MVP, it's Cam Newton. Put it on a billboard. Put it on a blimp. Put it on wherever you want to put it. Cam Newton is the MVP of the National Football League. And he is if there's ever been a one-man wrecking crew, he is
right.
That one-man
that
wrecking.
Dive into the end zone. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was great.
He's unreal.
Hey, Andrew, pointed out something yesterday, and I'm sure you and I weren't the only people who were stunned by this. In the post-game interview, Cam Newton still didn't know or hadn't been told who the Panthers were going to meet in the Super Bowl. Like,
okay,
that had been...
I didn't believe that for
no
a second.
Way.
But then why would he say that?
I don't know why he would say that.
So,
but,
if you remember...
Because the game ended like 3 minutes before his started, right?
Right, about 5-6 minutes before the other one started. But when it ended, they were already out on the field. They had gone through warm-ups. They'd probably already done the anthem. They're out there. They're ready. All you're focused on the game. But I believe that he didn't know who won before kickoff, okay? What I can't believe, or I find hard believing, is that at one point during the game, especially, say, in the fourth quarter when you're up by 30 points and you're celebrating and you're posing for pictures and you're dabbing or whatever the heck they call that the kids do, that at one point someone didn't relate to him who won the game. Now, I mean, Chris Myers, to his credit, said, well, I mean, it was the Broncos. But I wanted someone to – I don't know if anyone on the podium later asked Cam, were you joking?
No, Terry Bradshaw said again, you said you didn't know, so just to let you know again, it's the Broncos.
I got to tell you, from his first response when they told him it was the Broncos, and he said, oh, it's the sheriff, like,
yeah.
That seemed genuine to me.
It looked legit.
It seemed like he was surprised.
That was weird, though. That was funny. All right, before you go here, Andrew, and we appreciate you squeezing in, particularly when you're on the road. We were talking about this earlier. How happy must Roger Goodell be that Super Bowl 50 is guaranteed a storybook outcome no matter which team wins?
Okay, see, I think it would have been a storybook outcome either way. I really do. However, I see what you're saying in that we don't have to talk about the Patriots and the Patriots football the entire week. I totally get that. I can't speak for the commissioner. I don't know if he's happy. But I will say this, the fact that Peyton Manning could go out
right
with a Super Bowl ring as his, I don't think anyone thinks he's playing beyond, you know, the Super Bowl. I don't think anyone thinks he's playing next year.
I can't
the
imagine.
The fact that he could go out like this, and if he doesn't go, let's say he loses, right, then you have the ascension to the throne
yeah,
for right. Cam Newton.
Yeah, win-win. Exactly.
And let's be honest, the fact that Goodell doesn't have to hand a trophy to Tom Brady, he is thrilled.
He is thrilled.
Let's be honest.
I wish just that would have happened just for that moment.
Right?
Yeah.
Tom would have gone, suck it, Goodell.
What I want to know is, will there be a wardrobe malfunction this year? Because the last time the Panthers went to the Super Bowl, it was against the Patriots. And we had Janet Jackson.
That was the Janet Jackson fiasco.
Don't we have a Beyonce's hopping on stage with Coldplay at the halftime? Right.
Why can't it be Chris Martin?
Well,
maybe his pants drop.
Chris Martin wardrobe.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, Andrew. So usual time today on the NFL Network. You'll be on doing around the NFL.
I will not be on today. However, tomorrow, actually, all through the week, we will be doing Senior Bowl practices on NFL Network. The 104 best seniors in America, all here trying to pump their draft status, many of them first-round picks. And then Saturday afternoon, the Senior Bowl game, yours truly, Mike Mack, Daniel Jeremiah, Alex Flanagan, Charles Davis, live from Mobile, Alabama on NFL Network.
Sounds great. We appreciate your time, man. Have fun out there in Alabama. See you later.
Love you guys.
Thank you, man.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:55.
Ahead of him getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning, we'll talk to actor Dave Duchovny coming up just after 9. First, though, Allie's in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on?
Hey, you guys. Nielsen's early ratings are out for X-Files, but they need to adjust them because something Bean warned us about. They could start later,
right?
And your DVR screwed up, that type of thing.
And they did, right?
And they did.
Didn't the post game run like a half hour late or something?
Yeah. So they need to do the time zone adjustment. But even if you ignore the inflated first half hour because it was following the football, and just look at the 10:30 to 11 p.m. East Coast time, 13.5 million viewers.
No kidding.
Whoa.
That's great.
That's insane. Wow.
And it comes back tonight.
Tonight,
by the way.
Episode 2. And we're going to have David Duchovny on the show after this. And then after that, he's going to head down to Hollywood Boulevard. Because at 6508 Hollywood Boulevard, right in front of the Fox Theater at 11:30 a.m., he is going to be getting his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. He's going to be joined by Chris Carter, the creator, director, executive producer of X-Files, as well as his good friend, Gary Shandling. So it's going to be quite the party down
there. Cool.
Bean,
yes,
this
sir.
Is for you.
All right.
We all know Reggie Watts. He did 70 episodes as the band leader on the show Comedy Bang Bang.
Mm-hmm.
And King Cuddy did 20 episodes as the band leader. Well, the new band leader has been announced.
I think it was Kid Cuddy. Was it not?
Who did I say?
King.
She said King.
Well, that's how I look at him.
Okay.
He's royalty to me.
That's fine. All right.
Did I say King?
Yeah, you did.
That's really weird.
All right, drum roll again. Sorry.
All right. Yes. Drum. Yes. Today, Scott Aukerman has announced the next band leader.
And now, breaking news for
will be Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah!
Yes!
That's pretty strong.
That is really strong.
How about that?
Right?
Finally, a white man gets a leg up.
Right?
Gets a job in Hollywood.
Finally, a white man gets a break.
Seriously, it's about time a white man can get a sidekick job on the Scott Aukerman TV show.
By the way, if you haven't seen Comedy Bang Bang, it is
it's so good.
It's just such complete and great nonsense.
Yes. It is so good.
Every episode is so different from every other episode. That's the weird thing about it is you literally have no idea. I mean, they can go into space one year and they can all be living on the prairie the next. It's crazy like that.
It is just that good. But yeah, we'll see how many episodes he's going to do. But he said he would stick around for the next 300.
That doesn't sound like an overcommitment.
No, not at all. Good stuff. Well, how long would it take to get to 1 billion views on YouTube?
You mean regularly or for something that's...
That's huge.
I would think like a Star Wars trailer or something that would be... How much? A billion?
A billion.
A month?
No. Adele's video...
to be so dismissive. I don't know.
I know. I'm sorry.
Adele's video,
Hello, became the fastest video to get to 1 billion views on YouTube, and it took 87 days. Now, you contrast that to Psy's Gangnam Style. That took 158 days to get to a billion. And Justin Bieber's Baby took 4 years to get there. Here's where I thought, well, that's interesting. There are a total of how many videos that have reached 1 billion views on YouTube? How many do you
total.
Think? Total.
It's got to be a very small number. I
would think 20.
I was going to say fewer than 10.
17 have reached a billion.
Well done, Kevin.
Very good. Everything from Sugar by Maroon 5. Come on, people.
Let's really? Be better.
Katy Perry's Roar, Taylor Swift's Blank Space, Lean On by Major Lazer, Eminem's Love the Way You Lie, Party Rock by LMFAO.
Yeah.
Counting Stars by One Republic and Chandelier by Sia.
What about Linda Polly singing We'll Make America Great Again?
I think we're on
hasn't
on
hit
the right
a billion
track.
Yet?
We
what
are.
About more like 1, 2, 3, 4 with the plain, who was it, Plain White Tees? What about that one?
Oh, on the walking on the thing?
I don't know. Which one it is. It's not the Plain White Tees, though. Keep going. Keep going.
No, let's look into this. What
Kevin, God damn it.
I need a much sleep. Back to you.
Let's just wrap this up so we can talk to David Duchovny, shall we? All of these stars were born on today, January the 25th. Singer Alicia Keys is 35, and you know him as Tyler from The Vampire Diaries. Michael Trevino, he is 31. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to our Weezer winner, Javier de la Roca from San Dimas. Are you laughing? I feel like that was pretty good.
It was great.
You're so proud of yourself when you get through one of those names.
I thought you were laughing at me.
No, nobody was laughing.
All right.
But you're so happy when you get through a name and a city, and both of them come out flawless.
It's unfortunate, but that is true. That makes me happy.
Every time it's like you just turned a triple play, and you're like, check me out. Well, the Weezer in Amsterdam is what's happening all this week on the world-famous K-Rock, and that means that Javier has won himself some tickets to go see Weezer along with Panic at the Disco and Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness. That show is going to be at Irvine Meadows Amphitheater on August the 6th. He is now on the standby boarding list to see Weezer in Amsterdam. Grand prize drawing is going to be Monday morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It is destination number 2 of the K-Rock World Tour 2016. By the way, while we're waiting for Mr. Duchovny here, earlier today, because it's Monday, we did the grand prize drawing for destination number 1. We still have not heard from Monica Pike from Los Angeles. We called and left her a message. She still may not know that she is going to Tokyo to see 21 Pilots. So if you know her, let her know.
Plus,
that she's the winner. Have her get in touch.
Plus, she seems like she's really depressed. Check this out.
Hey, you know the drill.
Aw, Monica.
She sounded like a lady who needed some good news, right?
We called to tell her that she had won a trip to Japan. That happened. So.
All right, I believe our guest is on the phone. Hit it, Steve.
David Duchovny, floating above me in the alien light of the spaceship of love. I need David Duchovny, hovering above me, American Heathcliff, rooting and calming. David Duchovny, why won't you love me? Why won't you love me? Why won't you love me?
Along with the return of the X-Files TV show on Fox, that's the return of singer-songwriter Bree Sharp has updated her version of the song called Dave Duchovny, and it was so good to hear that again and so good to see our friend David back on the X-Files with Gillian Anderson. Huge ratings Sunday night for the premiere. Part 2 airs tonight at 8 on Fox. Mr. Duchovny, welcome back. Sir, how are you?
Thank you so much, my old friends. You know, I remember so well when I sat down to write that song.
Well, you did a great job, and your singing voice is much lovelier than I would have expected now that I hear it again.
That's a lot of core exercises.
Right, exactly. So, Dave, yeah. So last night, of course, you'd already seen it, but did you wait till after the post game at the NFC conference game and watch the thing live on Fox as well?
I did. I just thought it would be fun to sit through. You know, that post game stuff was not the most exciting.
No, the game was not the most exciting.
I know. I was hoping for a close one, you know, to keep all the viewers. But
I tweeted out on behalf of the Arizona Cardinals, I'm sorry to the X-Files for a crappy lead-in.
Yeah.
Because I felt like we sort of owed you a little more than that. But what are you going to do?
Well, maybe Carson Palmer can give me a call. We'll see. But, you know, they're a good team. Too bad.
But that does make it tough for you because it's all over the map in terms of when people tune in and stuff like that across the time zones and everything. But I mean, the early indications are at least 13 million people watching part of the show last night, which has got to make you feel great.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think everybody seems to be really happy. I mean, I can't I can't concern myself. I don't really understand all that stuff, and I never really concern myself with it. I really just once we're done with the work and making the show the best we can, I kind of tune out all the rest. But it would suck if it had bombed, and it seems to have done really well. So we're all happy about that.
Dave, I was thinking about this. We had your good friend Chris Carter in on the show Friday, and like you, he's been kind enough to come on this many, many times over the years. He is not an easy person to interview. He is not a guy who expands on his thoughts. He gives you a lot of very brief answers. It leaves a lot open for interpretation. And I was wondering if that carries over into the relationship that you have with him in terms of when you're working with a guy like that on the set. Is he just like throwing you into the water and making you swim, or is he guiding you along the way? What's it like with him as a writer-director?
Are you trying to get me fired?
Yes. No,
right?
I'm really,
what are you doing, Bean?
I'm really fascinated to know what it's like for you working with a guy like that, because he's tough.
Here's the deal. I think early on, the first time, it might have been Chris's first interview, I think he did with you guys.
Right.
And you guys said you really liked his voice. And I think you said he had the voice of God.
Yeah, he does.
Because we sound like little boys.
So you get the most expansive Chris there is.
Oh, wow. Look, having said that, we love Chris Carter. He's the greatest, nicest guy in the world. He's a surfer. Well, He's so cool.
In all sincerity, we've been working together so long. We understand the way one another work. And, you know, we don't actually need to say that much. We kind of have a shorthand, all three of us. And he just needs to say a few words and... To be honest with you, I don't like hearing a lot of words when I'm working. I got like maybe a 10-second attention span when I'm acting, and so Chris has the right amount of words. It's fine for me.
Perfect. All right, let's talk about your big day today. Nobody goes into acting thinking one day I'm going to have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, but when it happens, I can't imagine what it feels like. Tell me what this journey has been like for you leading up to today.
It's very surreal. I mean, you know, I guess there's a. I grew up on 11th Street and 2nd Avenue, and there was a Jewish deli called 2nd Avenue Deli right a block away from me, and they put Jewish stars of David on their sidewalk to honor Jewish philanthropists.
Uh-huh.
And I always thought, you know, I'd really like a star on that deli walk of fame. That'd be fine for me. So I set my sights there on 2nd Avenue and 11th Street, and the fact that I've hit higher it's all good. I mean, it's just surreal, really. I don't know what to say about it.
Did you have any say in where they put you? What part of town you're in? What you're near?
No, but you know the fact that it's in Cleveland, I find a little insulting.
Gary Shandling is going to be part of the speech tonight. Is one or both of you are going to be shirtless? I'm sure, just to keep your relationship hot, right?
Well, Gary will be there, and you know there's a 2-minute limit apparently on how long the speakers can speak.
Oh,
so Gary will kind of fump for 2 minutes and probably say nothing at all. And then, of course, Chris won't have 2 minutes worth of speech.
Yeah, it'll take 8 seconds.
Yeah, 8 seconds, right.
Wait. So the speeches will be very interesting.
Dave, you finally get a star on the Walk of Fame, and they're going to limit the speech to 2 minutes? What kind of rush are they in?
Well, this is what I'm saying. Apparently, at that time of day, downtown Cleveland is really messy.
Okay, all right. Well, it is a tremendous honor, and you know you've been working in this business for a long time. You definitely deserve it. Now, is it going to be the type of thing that you will visit when you're in town? Will you go by and check up on your star, or is it set it and forget it?
If I did, I would do it undercover.
Yeah, it'd be a little pathetic.
There's a couple of things that I want to do. One is I want my kids to see it. They're not going to be here. They were trapped in New York by a blizzard.
All right. All right, yeah.
Just lost, phones just went dead.
No kidding.
Yeah. Oh. It would have been a lot better had they not.
And it was so much fun talking to Dave.
Well, no, obviously he needs to come in tomorrow, right? He's in town.
I feel like it.
Right?
Yeah.
Episode number 2 of the 6th series, X-Files Return, is going to be tonight at 8 o'clock on Fox. And I wanted to ask Dave when Aquarius is coming back, too, because I'm telling you what, I'm every bit as excited about his return on Aquarius as I was on the X-Files. I loved him on that show. So, anyway, congratulations to our friend David Duchovny and the success of the X-Files last night and the star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame today. So that was awesome catching up with him here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:39.
A few minutes ago, I mentioned that we had not heard yet from our winner of Destination Number 1 of the K-Rock World Tour 2016, that trip to see 21 Pilots in Tokyo. Remember, we were talking about Monica Pike. We called her first thing this morning. This was her outgoing message that we left a word for her on.
Hey, you know the drill.
And Kevin, your concern was that no one has ever needed good news more than that lady who left that sad message.
I feel
like we
need to call like the authorities and get them over there.
I'm concerned for Monica with your whole thought.
Well, you know the drill.
Well, I have some great news for you guys as a result of bringing it back up. I believe Monica is on the phone. Are you there?
Hi.
Are you okay?
I can't believe that voice note does.
Are you okay? Do we need to send help?
I am amazing now, and I'm going to have a new voicemail.
So how did you find out? From the message we left you or from hearing us talk about it on the radio?
From the message you guys left, and then I heard the radio and a friend called.
Your outgoing message made me worry about you.
Oh, I'm in shock. I'm literally in shock.
Do you have a passport?
I do.
Oh, great. Okay. You ever been to Japan?
I've not. And my sister-in-law's from there, so she's going to be really excited.
Oh, that's fantastic. You know, times people win these prizes, and you won, you know, 21 Pilots tickets for the summer anyway, which is already a great prize. But people usually think, I'm never going to win the grand prize.
That's why I didn't even have my phone turned on.
Yeah.
I was like, there's no way. Because I've won a few other prizes in the past, but never, ever this big. This is insane.
Have you changed your outgoing message?
I got to figure it's going to sound so stupid now, no matter what I say.
I insist that you keep the same one. I love it, and I never want it to change.
Oh, my God. Thank you guys so much. I'm so excited.
Thank you, Monica. I'm so relieved.
See, she's all right. You thought she was going to be down in the dump. She sounds fine.
Should we still go by and check?
No, she's fine.
All right.
All right, and all this week at 9, noon, 3, 6, and 9 p.m. Several times throughout the day, you get a chance to be on Destination Number 2 of the K-Rock World Tour 2016, which is Weezer in Amsterdam. Allie's here one more time with a look at the showbiz beat in for our friend Ralph Garman, who, by the way, is at Sundance. Had a movie debut last night at the film festival in Park City, Utah. He will be back on Wednesday, but first, what's going on?
You guys, I apologize for this because we could have been celebrating this all day.
Oh, we missed something?
I should have known better. Yeah, it's always the last Monday in January, so I can't believe I forgot.
Okay.
But happy Bubble Wrap Appreciation Day, you guys.
That's today?
Yes.
Why does that always sneak up on me? Why do I never know it's coming?
I know.
Who needs Bubble Wrap more than Bean? Right?
So true.
Right?
So true. But hey, it's Bubble Wrap Appreciation Day. Get on out there and... Oh, Bean.
I'm okay.
All right. If you guys missed it, big story over the weekend. Obviously, the huge snowstorms all up and down the East Coast. And somebody that was affected by it was the actor Mark Ruffalo. He was out in the snow, apparently dropped his wallet as well as his phone. Obviously, it's lost, right?
Sure.
Maybe you'll see it next spring. No. Two little girls found it, half buried in the snow. They checked the driver's license, but didn't recognize the name Mark Ruffalo. But here's the twist. Somebody texted his phone because the phone was locked.
And the message was,
hey, you know the girl.
It wasn't. I wish it was. But somebody texted, so they called this person back. That person got in touch with this publicist. Everything is great. It has been returned. He actually went to the girl's house, gave him $100, and promised them a signed Hulk picture.
That's pretty cool.
I know. But I brought this up with when we had Harvey Levin from TMZ on.
Mm-hmm.
In 2014, Mark Ruffalo left his wallet in a cab in Chicago, and the guy wound up finding it and tweeted him, like, hey, dude, I'm in Chicago in a cab. I've got your wallet. Do you need it back? So he wound up getting it back that way. But I think we need to get him a fanny pack is basically what I'm saying.
Or a wallet chain, maybe.
Something.
I like fanny pack.
I do too.
I like the Hulk with a fanny pack.
I like it. What color would it be, do you think?
Green.
But only when he gets mad.
Right.
Why'd you say it like that?
Because I figured I would get beat for saying it.
Oh, I liked it. All right, you guys. First two Guns N' Roses reunion shows with Axl Rose and Slash will be at the brand new Las Vegas Arena on the Strip on April the 8th and 9th. That's a full week before Coachella. But now they're offering a signature VIP experience where you can get just one seat in the first 10 rows, plus neat stuff like a tour of the new arena, free food and drink, and a gift bag.
A gift bag.
For the low, low cost. Keep in mind, one seat.
One seat, not one plus one.
All the free food and drink, tour of the arena.
Right.
$2,500. That's $2,500.
For the row.
For one seat.
And a backstage party with the band?
No meet and greet. Right? Where's that money going?
That's a good question. I don't know. That's odd.
It's a lot of money.
I would. By the way, I would go to a concert by myself, but I feel like most people wouldn't.
Right.
You sort of feel like a loser, I would think. So who would? I don't know. This just seems weird.
Unless somebody sits next to you and they spent the $2,500, and then they're your, like, soulmate.
Right. That's what I was thinking.
What's happening?
Exactly what I was thinking.
Speaking of words that are not making any sense when you put them all together, but it sounds fantastic. Former Friends star David Schwimmer will be starring in the new AMC series Feed the Beast. David and Jim Sturgis will play two best friends who take one last shot at getting their dream restaurant off the ground. Here's where it gets weird. And it sounds like they're just saying a bunch of words and adjectives together to make a plot. It's about a former top chef who's come straight out of prison. He's a ladies' man with a drug habit. The other partner is a wine sommelier who's dyslexic with an alcohol problem. The show is scheduled to premiere in May, filming beginning next month in New York City. That can't be real, can it? All of that?
Wow, that's amazing. That's a great story.
It does sound like Mad Libs. I don't know. That sounds weird.
I'm in, though.
I think strangely I am, too.
I'm in. Amy Poehler will be producing a new pilot for NBC. It's being called Dumb Prince, reportedly about a crown prince who spent years on the party circuit, now returning home to compete with his brother for the family throne. Huh? You love royalty, Kevin.
Yeah, I do. I love.
What if I told you it's being written by former Saturday Night Live writer Charlie Grandy?
That would not help.
No?
No.
Really?
Not really.
Amy Poehler.
Yeah. Did Amy write it? Then I'm in.
She's producing.
Right, but did she write it?
No.
Okay.
It's Charlie Grandy. Mm.
Ariana Grande?
I knew it. Good stuff. Good stuff. We've got a whole slew of birthdays. All these stars were born today on January the 25th. Singer Alicia Keys is 35, and actor Michael Trevino, formerly Tyler from Vampire Diaries.
Wow, that is quite a lengthy list.
Two. I'm sure there's more people, but Dave didn't think they mattered. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Hey, you know the drill.
Hi, Monica. Hi.
Congratulations again to her. Rob Corddry is on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean Show. He, of course, is one of the stars of Ballers. He's also the creator of Children's Hospital. We've got the Bachelor Report with Petros Papadakis, and we've got comedian Bob Saget in studio tomorrow morning.